The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. He's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
Get the part so close? Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school. What? Or a Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
Let the dogs out, you know, like, ooh, let the dogs out, ooh, ooh.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
Rebound, it bounces all around, reaching the one goal, and wrap around the 10 by Marshawn, he scores! As it careens to Bergeron, who moves in, Bergeron protects, and down to the ice he goes, the puck wound up going into the net. It's 3-0.
A leather lung fan, and they have a few in Boston, yell, "We didn't lose to the British, and we're not going to lose to British Columbia." Despite that adversity, they follow their coach to the high road, and the high road is the road to the cup. For the first time in 39 years, the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup.
Get the duck boats ready! After 39 long years, the cup is back home! The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions!
All right, I think it's only appropriate that that's how we start the show. Good job, Kevin. The Boston Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions. Good job. That's awesome. That's a good team to root for.
Very excited.
You can't help but root for the Boston Bruins. They put the puck in the net when they had to.
And they stopped it. Tim Thomas, one of my new favorite athletes.
Yep.
One of the most legendary postseason runs I think you'll see by an individual in any sport ever.
And sure.
I'm not overstating it. Just a magical postseason run, especially for a guy 37 years old.
Who's little, and he's got the beard, and he talks kind of funny.
Yeah.
And just everything about him.
An unbelievable postseason run.
It was great. So Boston Bruins, so now I've got a couple emails already, and we talked about it. The Patriots are the team with the longest championship drought in Boston, which is
So that's
pretty
the subject
amazing.
Today, how to fix it?
Pretty
championship
amazing.
Drought here in Foxborough. What are we going to do?
No, not really. But obviously, you know, this is PFW in Progress, and we are here until 2 o'clock. The phone number is 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline, and the email is webradio@patriots.com. But despite all that, if people want to talk about Bruins, we're happy to do that. And I was talking to Paul this morning, and I kind of thought about this. You know, Vancouver was the team going in that should have won the game. But I think that they, in the Bruins, met their New York Jets. When the Patriots came up against the Jets in the playoffs, that was the one team that had the defense that could really stymie the Patriots' offense. And I think the Bruins had a specific defense that really could handle Vancouver, and it showed. And, you know, it was a bad matchup for Vancouver. Just like Paul, you said, the Canadians were a bad matchup for the Bruins earlier, and it took everything the Bruins had to get past that round. We were a bad matchup, and I'm saying we were a bad matchup for the Canucks.
There's a shock. They won the title, and Fred's rooting
Fred's
for them.
Fred's on board.
Well, we're
that's
Boston.
All it takes.
We're Boston. We're all in it together.
It's never we when they weren't winning titles.
We're also talking
competition.
Before the show, we had a meeting about our pregame social that we're going to do that we've already talked about a little bit. And Fred talked about how, you know, you can get these different kinds of apps and whatnot for, you know, all your favorite teams.
Right.
Can you imagine, Fred, the length of Fred's list? Favorite teams? I mean, think about all the teams that have won titles over the years.
It's true.
That's a lot of teams.
It's like
to be
one
favorite.
A year, pretty much. In different sports, it's like four.
Like four. Except for the NBA. There's only been like nine in the last 30 years.
Well, Paul used to have a really long list, but then Title IX hit Northeastern, and so a lot of his sports went away. But, you know.
What? They never won championships.
the obvious answer is
closest he came is J.J. Barea.
So congratulations to the Boston Bruins. That was awesome. I mean, they just, after the first 8 minutes, they just dominated that game.
I do think
it
was a good matchup for the Bruins, but I think the Bruins were just better. I think it's one of those things that we don't follow hockey intently, none of us.
No.
So we kind of went by what all the experts were saying, and we thought there's no way we can beat this team based on they had scored the most goals, they had allowed the fewest, they had the best power play, the best penalty kill, they won the most games in the regular season, they were dominant.
It's like Patriots-Giants.
I did watch them play.
All the experts said the Patriots were going
to win. I did watch them play in the regular season in Vancouver, and the Bruins beat them. I watched that. I do remember watching that game, and I didn't think there was anything overly special. I think one of the things that was sort of miscast is Vancouver is a finesse team. They're not.
They hit.
Yeah. They're not a high. Montreal is a much more finesse team than Vancouver.
Smaller.
They're smaller and quicker. The one advantage, I think, is the skilled guys, and Vancouver is a skilled team. But their skilled guys in the Sedins, they're very talented, but they're not fast. And I think that worked to Chara's advantage.
Yep.
Defensive pairing with he and Seidenberg. The matchup, Fred's absolutely right. The matchup was great. But, listen, they played seven games. The Bruins scored 23 times. Vancouver scored 8 times.
Right.
I mean, that's not a fluke. It's not an upset. It's the better team won.
Yeah.
It's also ridiculous for a goalie.
23-8 is dominant.
Play seven
the games. Fact that it went seven games is somewhat remarkable. It's the fewest goals that any team has ever scored in a seven-game series.
Is that right? Wow. And Tim Thomas wins the Conn Smythe trophy.
No surprise there.
Most valuable player.
As someone said last night on Comcast, and they could have lost the game 11-0 last night, and he still would have won the Conn Smythe trophy.
Yeah. So, you know, what that means to the Patriots, nothing. But it's just great, you know, that another Boston team won. And, you know, kids.
Frank McCool.
Kids, Paul's, kids' age.
We're on the radio, guys.
You know, and my kid, you know, who's 16, all they've ever known is Boston teams winning championships. You know, that's how they grew up. You know,
Andy made the point this morning, though. You know what's going to happen. These poor kids, they're going to be like 12, 13, 14 when they can really. You know, appreciate it and understand it, and you know, we'll be back in a drought.
Oh sure, yep. So that's awesome. The parade for those around this area. I don't think have the
Saturday at 11.
It's going to be Saturday at 11,
according to 7 News Boston.
And what will it involve?
A parade.
No, but will it involve
duck boats?
A rolling rally? Will they have a City Hall Plaza gathering?
I don't know. All I saw was a full screen Saturday at 11.
Yeah, I think they're doing the duck boats now. I think that's their
well, they used to do that, but it would culminate at City Hall Plaza.
I liked that.
That's great.
And that image of the sea of bodies out in the plaza is pretty cool, and the stage. And it leads to, we were just talking about the, what's his name, Paul, dancing at the Lakers when you get the opportunity for some of these things. The Yankees suck, and strippers actually tweeted out something. Larry Bird said Moses Malone eats poop at one of the parades in the 80s.
That was 81.
So
Moses eats poop.
I think that stage setting,
sugar honey iced tea,
lends itself to some of that taunting or whatever, or when you say we're going to come back, we're going to do it again next year, and you miss out on some of that if they're just rolling through in a parade. So I would like to see the stage.
Sure. Let's see.
Did you ever go to one of those?
What?
Parades?
I just went to the Patriots one.
I did not.
I've never been to one either.
I haven't even been to the Patriots
one. Oh, the first Patriots
I haven't
one.
You haven't been to the Patriots.
The first Patriots one was ridiculous.
No.
I never seen anything like
that. I thought you
just
we covered
like
it,
hanging
though,
from
right?
street
we covered
signs.
It, but I wasn't there.
Yeah,
where were you?
How many
in the office.
We're going to have in the show.
I was with them.
Really? Generations of
Brian
Williams.
Went. Those are the kind of things that Brian tended to gravitate toward. Anytime there was glory involved, Brian was there.
Lots of kudos.
What's in it for me?
Lots of kudos to the Open. Paul in London said the Bruins Open was awesome, appropriate, and the best the show has had for a long time.
Somebody tried.
let's see. I don't know who this person is, but he's texting in, and he said
he's texting in. I didn't think.
Well,
he
he's got
text.
This thing where he can do it. Love the intro. Gave me goosebumps. Go Bruins and F Bobby Lou. Who's Bobby Lou?
Roberto Luongo.
Okay.
I call him Hector.
And Mario.
Hector.
Or Mario.
Mario.
And San
Mario ben- Speedwagon.
Well, Mario and San Benito.
That's why I say it. Mario and San Benito says, hey, guys, just a quick question. That. Is this the golden era of Boston sports?
Yes.
You'd have to say
I can't imagine
it.
I can't imagine it getting better than that.
You'd have to say
four
it
titles
is.
In 7 years?
But it's funny, tying this into the blog thing I put up today. They've all won titles. They're all at the height of their sports within the last. And the rankings from ESPN's franchise rankings are 38th for the Patriots, 40th for the Celtics, 72 for the Bruins, and 79 for the Red Sox. So it's not so great according to ESPN's franchise rankings.
Well, who cares about what that
Yeah,
that
the
is.
Bruins confirmed their 11 o'clock Saturday for their thing, but more details to follow, it says, on their Twitter account. The
and
Bruins Twitter.
The Crafts got some nice praise this morning because they were very quick to have a full-page ad in the Herald and the Globe.
I think, Freddie, you deserve a lot of credit.
Congratulations. Actually, I don't deserve any credit.
No,
you know
I
who
know.
Deserves for reminding us, hey, we better get that ready, is Maura. She was the one in the morning because she's going on vacation. Michelle's going on vacation. Dwight's out because he's sick.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, if we're going to do an ad, we better get it ready now. And so she
there were actually two.
Yeah.
The early edition, I saw the pictures, had the
just
congratulations on a great season because it wasn't over yet.
Right.
And then
right.
Stanley Cup champions.
So she was the one that reminded me to remind everyone else, if we're going to have an ad, we got to get it done now.
She did a fine job.
She did a good job. So that's out there. Rioting in Vancouver, which I don't understand, between rioting after sporting events and taking pictures of your junk. I don't understand these two trends.
But you like the latter.
But Fred watches both.
Yeah, that's right.
Fred, not afraid to download either one.
I can't turn away from either. But, yeah, I don't understand what's going on in Vancouver. And I guess they did it in 94, too, when they lost. Who'd they lose to? The
Rangers.
The
Rangers in 94, there was over $1 million of damage. So I guess in retrospect, it's really a dropping of the ball for the authorities in Vancouver.
I guess so.
I mean,
fool me once, shame on
me. Meanwhile, in Boston, the game wasn't even
in
Boston, and they had the stormtroopers out. I mean, if you saw
as a result, about 28 people got to celebrate. I mean, there was nobody on the streets.
Right. You know, and the game wasn't even here. But shame on Vancouver. Shame on the fans. That's despicable.
It is. I heard a comedian this morning doing a little routine on it that this is what white people riot over. Like, black people riot when a baby is shot by a white cop and gets off free, and people in Egypt riot when they're trying to overthrow a dictator. White people riot if their team doesn't win the Stanley Cup. Nice life we have.
Well, it means a lot up there, that hockey, you know.
You stay classy, Vancouver.
So, and I was listening to Felger before the game last night, and he made a good point.
I doubt it.
Of the four big sports in America, the if you're just talking about the trophy, the Stanley Cup one is really the only one that means anything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's, you know, all the other trophies are kind of like sideshow. The Stanley Cup is the thing, you know?
I wouldn't just include it to America, but, I mean, the World Cup is just a trophy.
Right.
I mean, the fact that your name goes on there forever and every individual gets it for, I mean, it's, there's nothing like it.
The World Cup is even a tiny trophy.
It's a tiny little.
It's really small.
Yeah, but I think it's heavier, actually.
It probably
than
is.
The Stanley Cup.
Although it looked like, we were talking in the office this morning, it looked like the Stanley Cup weighed about 50 pounds, the way some of the players were trying to lift it over their heads.
It's 6 or 7 pounds.
It's 6 pounds.
Yeah.
Did you see there was an older guy who I didn't know who he was. He was, you know, some
Mark
sort
Recchi.
Of administrator for the, in a suit.
Cam
not a player. I wasn't sure he was going to be able to hold on to it.
Cloud.
Did you see him?
No, I don't know.
It was, you know, shortly after all the players had gotten it. You
right.
know, he grabbed it. And I thought he was going to keel over.
It's probably one of those guys that have been with the team
right.
for like
oh, yeah.
50 years.
Equipment guy or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it was an old, but he was all dressed up. That's why I didn't know who he was. He was some sort of front office type.
Right.
Traveling secretary?
Yeah, could be.
But, you know, you got to.
He would have punched it.
You know, look
at down on the ice.
You got to give credit to Charlie Jacobs, who, you know, the son of Jeremy Jacobs, came in. Jeremy had a terrible reputation in this town as being cheap and really not caring about, you know, getting this team over the hump. just making sure that they were winning and profitable every year. But Charlie came in, spent a lot of money, revamped their offices, brought in the GM, brought in Cam Neely, and really looked like he wanted to do whatever it took to win. And despite the fact that at one point they wanted to fire the coach and the GM this year, look what they've done.
And beyond that, a lot of people felt they overpaid for Chara, overpaid for Tim Thomas, should have traded Tim. There were talks of trading him last year.
In fairness, the Bruins tried to trade him.
No, I know. Yeah, they did. Because they weren't happy with the money.
Wasn't it Philly?
And it's a whole different. Now that they're overpaying guys, they win. Back then, they wouldn't spend enough to win.
Last night, it was sort of being portrayed as if, you know, once again, the media is all wet, which, don't get me wrong, we are a lot, often. But the Bruins themselves tried to trade Tim Thomas to Philadelphia in exchange for Jeff Carter, and Philadelphia did not accept the deal. Now, if you want to really look back, Philadelphia has a very, very good hockey team with absolutely no goalie. Hmm. I mean, you can get by with average goalie, but you can't get by with bad goaltending.
Now, I think we got some bad information because earlier we read that the cup was like between 6 and 7 pounds.
It says 6.5 pounds on Wiki.
Brian from Rothesay says, I've lifted it and it's all of 35 pounds.
Yeah, that's accurate. It's
and that makes more sense.
It makes total sense, but maybe we were reading it wrong because we did look it up.
Maybe the original cup was.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, that has to be it.
So that makes sense because they were looking like they were struggling.
They were.
To get it over their heads.
To get it up.
I purposely didn't say it because I know you wouldn't let it go.
So 35 pounds is what. So that makes more sense.
Yeah, that's a good thing Eric never won the cup because he'd never get that up over his head.
Well, no, he's very muscular. Did you know that?
He's good.
We found out on Tuesday that Eric is very muscular.
For a woman.
The most.
I mean, I know a lot of women that are
the most muscular person on this show.
False.
Andy.
Skinniest would be accurate. Not most muscular.
You
have to have muscle to be most muscular.
Leanest.
I have a lean
body fat.
I have a great physique.
I went with lean.
Or a 70-year-old man. If you were one of those two things, so in 35 years, you will be in tremendous shape, Jack Lillian.
I have a wiry physique, and I didn't require illegal drugs or any other performance-enhancing materials to get that way, unlike other people on this show.
Who?
You, idiot. To?
That's true.
You put stuff in your body to make your muscles bigger.
Never anything illegal.
Even though I've been drinking Miller Lite since the age of 13, they're not illegal. I was just underage.
And you take way more pills than I do, so how do I know what any of those things are?
They're not pills.
So you're... What? Your little pill case you bring out at breakfast that has pills.
Yeah, but those are vitamins.
Oh, those pills. They're not pills.
You meant those pills. You have a pill case? What are you, 80?
Yes, you've never seen this?
You are the least observant person ever. We've been on the road with him 7,000 times, and the little yellow thing comes out all the time.
I have the fish oil and the flaxseed thing.
He really is.
Flaxseed oil. Interesting. Who else took flaxseed oil, Paul?
That would be Barry Bonds.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Was it with the cream or the
So you have clear. An illegitimate 150-pound frame, Lance Armstrong.
No,
you
really should be 130.
You buy those at the CVS.
Oh, that's what Barry Bonds said too. Interesting. You bought him, right? So you believe him?
No, I don't believe him.
Juice, cheater.
Just so you know, I really look like I'm juicing.
Well, no, but
you
exactly. This argument.
Are you on the creatine?
You look like a cancer.
Is that what you used?
What?
You were going to say a cancer patient. You're a bad person. You're a bad person.
No, I'm not.
That juiced.
No, you look like a cancer patient who juiced after chemo.
Easy. I look like
hey,
Lance
KG,
Armstrong.
Settle down.
I look like Lance Armstrong. Is that what you're saying?
You're kind of built like that. You got the leanness to you. You know,
and he's
real
got some
skinny,
musculature.
The anorexic with a little muscle.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. We just came out with an issue of PFW yesterday.
Yes, Gone Fishing.
Gone Fishing. Eric has an expose of his trip with Josh Boyer.
And please read past the first column. It's going to be a struggle, we know. But if you get into the story and get past Eric's writing.
Well, our webmaster, Chris Ferrer, is very upset.
Very,
Eric,
very upset.
Because he settled down to read a nice fishing story, which, you know, he likes to fish, and found himself immersed in a Moby Dick metaphor. And he did not like that. Now, you chose to go the Moby Dick metaphor by, you know, it just didn't, that was not by chance.
No, it wasn't by chance.
It meant to do that.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So this largemouth bass was the white whale of Josh Boyer.
Exactly. And we even used that reference on the boat at the time.
Okay.
And while it was happening, that's how the whole story started coming into my head at that point. I'm like, oh, this is obviously my, pardon the pun, hook for the story.
Right.
Because to that point, it was a boring day. I mean, they hadn't been catching anything. It was just, you know, me asking them questions about fishing, there wasn't really anything, you know, overly exciting. I mean, most fishing days, you just go out there to relax, right? Unless you're deep sea fishing for, you know, sailfish like he did down in the Florida Keys, which is part of the story.
Right.
Then that's a little bit more, a little bit more exciting.
Will there be any other literary metaphors coming up that we can look forward to in stories in the future?
Have you missed the past ones?
What do you?
It rained for 40 days and 40 nights or whatever.
A biblical reference.
Oh, yeah. You don't remember that one from Hasselbeck?
Yeah, Betsy Hasselbeck.
Yeah. Betsy. That's a funny name, Betsy. Go ahead.
What do you got the giggles today?
Funny?
Yeah, I know you get the giggles today. You're like
Betsy Ross.
Betsy Ross. Junior high school girl.
It's like old lady-ish. It's not really.
Yeah, it's a funny name.
It's like Ethel. You know, who names a kid Ethel?
Myrtle.
Yeah.
Myrtle.
Anyway, but yeah, I had to confront Ferrer about it because, you know, as you know, he has no balls and won't say anything like that to someone's face.
Wow.
And he backed down immediately.
Of course he did because he's a punk.
Well, you showed your...
No, he's more a
bitch.
Your guns
I did. That is also... I'm wearing short sleeves today, so...
And he's afraid of women, so much like his wife, he ran from you.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com.
Am I allowed to giggle at that?
508-298-0398.
Well, that was funnier than Betsy. You were Andy like. Somebody said Betsy, and you go, Betsy, what? Funny.
But I didn't say it was dirty. You would have made it out to be something dirty.
Well, if it...
I just think it's a funny name.
Joey,
it's an old, like an old lady name.
Joey Feet.
Is that a real name or a short?
No, it's a short.
Elizabeth.
Yeah.
That's what Betsy is?
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth Ross.
Joey,
is your wife's name?
Do
you call her Betsy every once in a while?
Some
hey, Betsy, why don't you get me some dinner?
Never once.
That's a private question. I think you just stepped over a line there. When he calls her Betsy, it's up to him.
Only in the bedroom.
Although my Elizabeth is Elizabeth with an S, which is a little bit odd.
So you should call her Betsy. When you get home, call her Betsy.
Like Elizabeth Hasselbeck?
Yes.
Betsy Hasselbeck.
Going back to the Hasselbecks.
Full circle. And it's not raining.
You want to do a little fact or fiction?
Sure. Wait a minute. That just so he married a girl who's named after his mother.
Well, I don't know if she was Betsy Hasselbeck
named after.
Yeah, I'm sure that's never happened.
That's a little strange, don't you think?
I guess.
What's your mother's name?
Louise.
So you should look for Louise's.
No, it's a little weird, don't you think?
Well, if you are yelling her name out in bed.
Wait, am I talking to my mother or my wife?
All right, ready?
And there we have it. He found a way to turn it into something sexual.
Fact or fiction from Joey Feep. The Bruins will win another Stanley Cup before the Patriots win another Super Bowl.
Fiction.
Way harder to win a Stanley
fiction.
Cup.
Has to denigrate the act of winning the Super Bowl.
Now, why is
for
that?
Anything but Patriots.com.
You got to win 16
games.
It's
a series.
They're so evenly matched, all these teams.
I agree with that.
I think
it's harder to win a
Stanley Cup,
to me,
is the hardest thing to do in all sports.
You think so?
It's a war of attrition. I mean,
harder than the Tour de France?
All the cliches that you can... Well, obviously, no. You can buy a doctor to do that.
Not if everybody has a doctor.
You have to
all
win,
the cliches, to me, I think, are true in hockey.
You have to win as many games in one series as most teams have to win a Super Bowl.
But I just... like I think it's much harder to win four games in a series in hockey than basketball.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the physical toll that it takes. You have to be extremely talented as well as deep, because there's no way you're going to get through all the games with all you guys. You know, the Bruins lost Nathan Horton. Mm. They played without Mark Savard.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that are going to happen along the way.
Now look what happened to Vancouver. They got
they
beat
lost
up.
A million guys during that series.
Yeah.
And you wait the next week and a half, you're going to learn about all kinds of guys getting that played that are going to have surgery on something. I just think hockey is very underrated in terms of how difficult it is to win.
I'll give you that. And plus, you know, they're not like the baseball players. They don't wear the goggles in the locker room when they squirt the champagne.
That is so ridiculous.
Hockey players are so tough. A guy broke his back and he skated off.
Right.
Probably ill-advised,
but
he skated off.
And they were concerned he might have paralysis.
Right.
Fact or fiction, Jake Steele would beat the crap out of the Hulk.
Fiction. Jake Steele would have to go back and put the garbage out. And Hulk would wear off by the time Jake got back.
Fact or fiction, Tim Thomas will be elected governor of Massachusetts and mayor of Boston and serve both posts simultaneously. I don't know if he'll serve both posts, but he'll guard both posts.
I knew there was a
joke.
Or at least
bang it with
his stick before pointing to the sky in celebration.
Fact of
my vote, by the way.
Fact of fiction, Roberto Luongo gets run out of Vancouver by an angry mob before the start of next season.
That might be fact, angry mob is still running around Vancouver.
It's
going
to be awfully hard for them to do that. He's got a long contract, a lot of money.
Fact or fiction, no games will be missed this NFL season. That's a fact.
I think that's a fact.
No regular season games.
Yes. Okay. Fact. Good quantifier.
Tremendous game last night
by the Bruins in general and Tim Thomas in particular. Enough said. Thanks, Fred, Paul, Andy, and Eric. The shows are always great. Please keep it rolling.
We will.
We will. Let's see. Kamani writes in. Hey, Kamani. He says, I'm absolutely loving the Vancouver fallout. I can't stand those guys. They're absolute jerk-offs. I've been listening to Vancouver radio since last night, and the hosts of the various shows have been talking as if 9/11 just happened. I've attached some pictures of the Vancouver riots. They're pretty cool. And I can't see
what you're laughing at, Andy.
But we have to discuss it, Fred. Are you watching this?
Hold on. And I would like to also say that Tuesday's show was very, very good. Everyone was able to get their thoughts out. The formula of the show should be continued.
I'm okay with that. I'll add Thursdays to the docket. Now, Fred, more importantly, look at this thing.
What?
Flex Seal, yeah. New infomercial.
Yeah.
It's some sort of spray sealant.
Yeah.
The guy cut a hole in a boat, put a screen door in the bottom of the boat, then sprayed the screen with this sealant and put the boat in the water and rowed away.
Wow. You gotta get some of this.
Fred goes, wow.
And it comes in a can.
Yes. Two cans for $19.99.
I gotta get me some of that because I got some things I need to seal.
Okay, what do you got to seal?
No, I'm just saying.
My mouth. I mean, I felt like there was a punchline there. What is it?
I just have things I have to seal. That's
like what?
I don't know. I'll find them.
You know, the material on his superhero outfit. It's coming apart from all the
Jake Steel.
What are you talking about?
I'll find them. I have all kinds of things I need to do.
I'll find something I need to seal for $20.
The can will probably run out halfway through the
day. I bought a toilet.
Okay. Oh, what kind?
I went with the American Standard, but it's got the Everclean surface and the Power Flush.
When's your party? I'll be the judge of that.
Power Flush, you won't regret.
Yeah. So,
I'll test it out at your party for you, make sure it lives up to its warranty.
Well, it's in the upstairs bathroom. You guys aren't allowed up there.
We have to stay with the steerage down the bottom.
Right. Ryan from
the unwashed.
Ryan from Sudbury, Ontario writes in, and we do want to hear from our Canadian listeners today. This would be what your reaction is. But anyway.
Speaking of which, I did hear Johnny Canuck on the
Johnny
on
Canuck
WEI
was on
this
the EI today, and, you know, I think he told it like it is. You know, he was right.
Gave
on.
All the credit to the Bruins, yep. And took his team to task.
Yeah, you know, Johnny Canuck's a big Patriots fan.
He actually said that. He said, matter of fact, he's not alone. He says,
right.
Hoping that the lockout gets taken care of. There's a lot of Patriots fans here in Vancouver.
Yep.
Don't know why, but.
Ryan says, just wanted to give a shout out to the Bruins and the class that the Kraft family had in supporting them. As a Canadian, Vancouver fans should be ashamed of what they did after the game, as it is a disgrace to our country and to the game of hockey. Luongo proved again that he isn't a big-time goalie and should never be compared to the likes of Martin Brodeur and Patrick Roy. Glad that Boston brought home the cup because there are more Canadians on their team than Vancouver. And
speaking of lack of class, I thought they kind of gave a half-ass American national anthem last night.
Well, they were so jacked up. That guy.
Did you see any of the other games?
That guy that
I did, but I thought last night's was.
They were all the same. The guy who does the national anthem, it's like he has a cab waiting outside with the meter running. And then the other guy comes in,
right. And he's got his cummerbund.
It's a good way to put it.
Yeah. This may be blasphemy, but it's no worse than the one at the Garden.
And I was going to say. And I know
I'm not huge into the corny stuff. I kind of like the gimmick.
But let me say this. I like the pump and I know it is blasphemous, sacrilegious, whatever you want to say, but Rene Rancourt is terrible. He's a terrible singer. Maybe at one time he was good, but
isn't he our anthem guy for
I don't
a lot
care.
Of events?
He warbles like it's ridiculous.
But he's
no one heard him, so.
He's not intentionally trying to make it bad.
And that's what makes it bad.
That's okay.
It doesn't matter, Eric.
No, it does.
He's a professional singer who does all their games.
He's not
he should
good.
Be better.
I think the Bruins
my point is,
need to get someone
he's
new.
Going out there trying to do his best. I don't think the guy who sang the thing
oh,
last
think,
night
I
was trying to do his best.
Paul put it right. He acted like his cab was waiting
exactly.
For him.
Yeah. The meter was running.
Yeah, absolutely. No,
I'm okay
they
with
want to get through that
it was
and to theirs.
Yes.
I agree with that.
And I don't remember it being like that for, you know, when they play the Canadian national anthem here.
Maybe
I
not.
Think they give it the proper respect because
no,
it's a nation's anthem.
I kind of disagree with Fred. I think Rene is fine.
I think he's terrible.
But he, I think he puts the same intensity.
I have to put,
into the Canadian national anthem as he does.
Exactly. No, he does. That he does. But
and don't most people think that's a better
I literally
song?
Have to turn the sound down.
I actually like O Canada. Yeah.
I have to turn the sound down when Renee's singing because I just can't take it. He's so bad.
And I think it's really, really cool the way that guy stops in the middle when they all sing.
I love that.
Now, they did that in game six. I don't know if you noticed that. Renee didn't stop because here's the one criticism I'll say of him. There ain't a mirror that guy has never passed by without digging himself. That guy's totally in love with himself.
Rene Rancourt?
Oh, God. He loves himself. So there's no way he would possibly stop in the middle of the song and let people talk.
How'd this turn into a bash fest on poor Rene Rancourt?
I just think it's time. It's time.
Wow. Why? Did he used to be good? Is it age?
I think his voice is gone. I think he warbles. And you know what I mean by warbling?
Oh, I'm okay with it.
I can't stand
it. I thought he always sucked.
Well, it's 35 years.
No, yeah. I know, but in my lifetime, I feel like he sucked. It's, you know, 90s or whatever.
He wasn't always this bad.
But if he used to be good and now he just sucks because he's old, now I support him. Stay till the end.
Okay.
I like tradition.
All right, well, I think it's time.
You feel that way about certain team radio announcers?
Wow.
Oh, wow. There's a difference between failing a little bit and not being able to do your job anymore.
Oh, now here we go. All right.
Joe Castiglione's terrible.
All right, well, we got a lot of emails coming in. Calls are going to be coming in soon at 508-298-0398. We have a couple extra open lines here. So we'll be right back to talk more Bruins and Patriots after this.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Bruins!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
From the photos, Eddie was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see
Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sturger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up tonight.
I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right. Back here in PFW in Progress.
Well, what the hell was that?
Caught with a little roast beef in my throat.
He had a little meat in his throat.
Lunch today is brought to us by Edwin in Las Vegas. Thank you, Edwin. And because you sent us lunch, we're going to get right to your email right here. He says, this is the first time I've emailed the show and as well bought you lunch. I've been a loyal Pats fan since 1999 when I started watching football, and I've been listening to you guys since the 2006 season. Anyway, it's been a few months since our disappointing end to the season, losing 2 years in a row at home to two defensive-minded teams in the Ravens and the Jets has been tough. The New England Patriots are one of the most competitive teams in the NFL and have been so far over a decade. Regardless, there are always players who will have something to prove. Every year is different. I'm going to keep it short, simple, sweet, and to the point. What do you guys think about the following players making this year's roster? He's got a list of 15. We're going to do every one of them because he bought us lunch.
Okay.
So, chances of the guy making the roster, your personal opinions, Algie Crumpler.
100.
Mm. Yep.
Unless he retires.
I'm going to go 75.
Brandon McGowan.
40. 40%.
60.
Okay. Brandon Merriweather.
50-50.
90.
50. I think he could get traded.
He will make it. 90%. 90. Yeah. Well, he's a pro bowler. Brandon Tate.
95.
100.
Okay. 85.
Darius Butler.
85.
50. I'm going to go 50 with
really?
Him. I think he could get traded.
Okay. Fred Taylor.
Once.
Zero.
Zero.
Jonathan Wilhite.
60.
52.7.
Okay.
60.
Kevin Falk.
100.
25. Oh, that's a big disparity.
I'm going to say 65.
I'm saying 100.
Kyle Arrington.
100.
100.
Logan Mankins.
100.
100.
Matt Light.
50-50.
47.
20.
Nick Kazier.
40. 64.
60.
Ron Brace.
100. 100.
90.
Sammy Morris.
Zero.
Zero.
And finally, Tully Bannacane.
100.
Nah, 70,
75.
Yeah, 100.
88.3. Okay. Anyway, guys, hope you are enjoying your meal. Keep up the great work, and I'll be listening to the podcast after I get off my second job. Thank you, Edwin. Edwin's working two jobs to support us. So that's nice of Edwin. It makes me feel bad, though. But
that's very nice of Edwin.
Thank you for the lunch. That is awesome.
I think I just channeled Andy because when you started reading that, you said,
got off
my, I thought he was going to say secretary.
Oh, what?
Oh, John writes in, now that the Bruins brought the cup to Boston, it's time for the Pats to bring the Lombardi to Foxborough. On that note, I may have missed it with the end of the lockout finally in sight. What are your thoughts on Herzlick? I was actually really hoping the Pats would take a flyer on him in the seventh round, but as we know, that didn't happen. Do you think he can fit into the system and be productive? Everything I have heard is he's a stand-up guy with top-level character that would fit right in on that front. Thanks for making Tuesdays and Thursdays at work bearable. I really can't wait for the season to begin. I'll get to laugh at all the bandwagon Cardinals fans here in Phoenix that couldn't have cared less about the team until they had one good season. So, I mean, we've talked about Herzlick. There is a chance that they could still sign him as a restricted free agent. Undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
But the question is, how is his health? I mean, I haven't really heard any updates.
His health is fine. The question
is his
skill.
Well,
right.
Is his productivity up to where he was before?
No.
And it's not.
No. He's not as fast. He's not as strong. He's not as big. But I personally would take a flyer on him. Because of all the stuff that guy said, high character, and he fits the mold. You know, he doesn't have the speed now, but he has the size and versatility to be an end-of-the-line pass rusher, drop into coverage a little bit. He did a lot of that at BC, and obviously at one time was Defensive Player of the Year, and some people thought a top five pick.
And you still need competition at that position.
Right?
You need bodies.
If we're going to take chances on Ninkoviches and Moores and these types of guys, I'll take a chance on Hurst.
If anything, he'll push guys.
And you won't regret it. The bare minimum, you would never regret it.
The number one reason that I agree with all you guys is that, is the attitude. I think you have nothing to lose. All you're going to get is a guy with a great attitude. That you know. That's the one constant. You know you're going to get a great attitude and a great locker room guy, great presence. The guy is just very impressive. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it also stand to reason that Andy's right? He didn't, you know, match his previous standards in terms of all of his testing. Speed, strength, all this stuff. He's not back to where he was. But wouldn't it stand to reason that that would continue to improve as he's further away from his health problems?
I would think, but that's why I criticized him at the time for saying, I'm back.
That was an unwise choice.
He should have taken the Wes Welker route. He should have said, I'm not back yet. It still bothers me.
Every day I'm feeling
better and better. Right. He didn't.
Every day I'm feeling better and better. That's what he should have said.
Only doctors really know what his status is.
What he should have done, you know, I know he wanted to allay fears, but what he should have said is, no, I'm not 100%, but I see every day I'm getting, like you said, I'm getting better. I can see it.
And he tried to do that later. He talked about, you know, if you look at the tape from September, you know, I was different late in the season. You start to see signs and little bits. It just doesn't seem like the football world bought it.
What he needs is a little help. If you know what I mean.
Oh, I wouldn't if I were him.
No?
No.
Why?
Because I am of the belief that it causes cancer.
Really?
Not causes. I am of the belief that if you're predisposed to cancer, the
steroid
speeds that up.
It makes
sense. He's already had an issue with it.
Yep.
I don't think it's worth it for a guy like him. I think he is a very intelligent, hardworking man who doesn't need the NFL to be a success in this world. He will be a success at something, even if it's motivational speaking, whatever. I don't think he needs to risk his life again by taking steroids.
That's a good point. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to it. Shivaram from Pittsfield, Mass. Is on the phone. Hey, am I pronouncing it right, Shivaram?
No, it's Shivram.
Shivram, I'm sorry. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
What's up?
I just finished finals.
How'd you do?
Terrible, because I had to watch the Bruins last night.
What was the subject that you were taking your finals in?
10th grade biology.
Oh, Eric could help you with that.
Why? He still hasn't
He goes after 10th graders.
He doesn't know about reproduction.
I didn't giggle.
He's asexual.
Shiver didn't, giggle either.
No, he doesn't care for us.
All right. What else you got?
I just had a question. After the draft, Charlie Casserly said there might be some value for Brian Hoyer. I'm just wondering what teams would be interested in him, in picking him up next year.
I don't think too many.
It's a good question, though, because he's been getting – it wasn't just Charlie Casserly. There have been a few other people who have said, Hoyer is a quarterback to look at as a potential starter for another team.
But why? I mean, first of all, I don't think he's proven himself.
Yeah, I don't get it.
But second, I don't think there's a fit because the teams looking for quarterbacks are looking for real quarterbacks.
And here's
Arizona. If you want a quarterback, you're not looking to develop a long term. You're looking to win now. You have Larry Fitzgerald. You need to get back to winning. You were a Super Bowl team with a quarterback.
I agree with all that stuff that you guys said, but I think even the bigger problem for Brian Hoyer and the Patriots, if they are truly looking for that, is when has there been this amount of somewhat proven quarterbacks available in the history of the NFL? You have Kevin Cobb, Donovan McNabb. Even a guy like maybe Kyle Orton. I mean, there are guys that have started games in this league and had some modicum of success.
Denver alone has a bunch of them.
One of them being?
Tim Tebow.
What about Kyle Orton? Guy I just mentioned.
Yeah. But I just think even the places that might have fit more of a mold, because I don't think, like Jacksonville, I don't think Jacksonville is going to go after a guy like McNabb. But hypothetically, I think if they liked Hoyer, they could have taken Hoyer and then said, okay, one more year of Garrard, but they drafted, what's his name, Pretty Boy?
Blaine Gabbert.
So that eliminates them. I think there would be certain fits where maybe if a team really liked Hoyer, it would have been a potential trade option. I just don't think there are many of those left, if any.
All right, Shivrim, anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay, well, thanks for calling.
Go practice your biology.
All right.
Uh-oh, Freddie. The commercial's back.
What?
I think this is the same spray. Well, it does everything. It doesn't even burn.
Wow.
This is amazing.
Amazing spray.
Here it is. Here's the door. See the boat?
Probably causes cancer.
He's
got a screen door in a boat, and he sprays it, and he's out rowing. No freaking way! Absolutely.
Oh, this is the best infomercial ever. My favorite since ShamWow.
Mikey Van.
I think it's the greatest thing ever.
Skylights, roofs, gutters, mobile.
I'm sure the listeners are just.
It's radio. You know, it's radio.
They can't
I've described it. They know what I'm talking about.
Mikey Vandalism writes in, what's up, guys? Little off topic with all this Bruins talk, but I just wanted to touch on a situation that most of us already let slip our minds. Adalys Thomas, where has he gone? Bill must feel he made the right decision looking back at it, that nobody wanted him. Going from a Pro Bowler to a stagnant stalemate as a free agent for the past year, I'm shocked that he was never picked up and shocked when he was cut initially. He must have done something more that we didn't hear about for nobody to want him. Do you think he will retire at 33 with the lack of interest?
He might not have a choice.
I mean, was there any talk of why no other team picked him up? I mean, do we have any?
Well, there were rumblings that if you watched the tape, he was just terrible. That, you know, he was slow and just didn't have it.
I mean, was he a complete product of that Ravens system and everyone got
and the talent around him.
Well, that's what I mean.
Would appear that way.
Made him look much better than he actually was.
Yeah, I was surprised that no one picked him up.
I was too.
I was not surprised that the Patriots let him go. And it had a lot more to do with his play, as Andy said, than it did the situation with the suspension and the bickering back and forth between he and Bill. That was the final straw. He wasn't playing well. He lost his playing time.
If you remember, we had labeled him a run-stuffing early down outside linebacker.
Bust. Free agent bust. But all that said, I am very surprised that no one took a flyer on him. No one.
Yeah. I mean, the Jets were talking about it early, but they didn't.
I think there was a lot of talk for the Jets. I'm not so sure the Jets had any interest.
That's right. They worked him out, I think, once.
I think there was.
Even then, that was after a ton of injuries, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, this is a league where we saw Monty Beisel suck as much as anyone, and he got a job and is still employed. I mean, we've seen a lot of guys that look like they suck that get another chance.
It might also be part of his attitude.
And we don't – I mean, maybe he said, I'm not doing it for the minimum. I'm a $2 million linebacker.
Teams might not have been turned off by his attitude.
London Fletcher got jobs at age 50, right? Just kidding.
Well, he is still playing. He made the Pro Bowl.
Right.
But he's also a 150-tackle-a-year linebacker. He's a tackle machine.
Let's see. Neil from Montreal writes in, love PFW in progress, partly for Patriots talk. I've been a fan since 61. But mostly for, A, Andy's intelligence and enthusiasm.
Fred, were you doing the show in 61?
Eric's sensitivity and fragility. See, Paul's common
fragile.
Sense of decency.
Decency? See, Kevin's decent not guy? Attention.
He wanted to punch a man till he stopped breathing because he happened to walk near him after a loss.
And Fred's ability to let this fractious bunch blend. It makes for great entertainment.
I don't know why you just can't accept the fact that people don't like you.
Decency.
No,
he liked me. He had good things to say.
I
have no problem with him liking you, but for your decency? I don't know that that's your...
No, you have a problem with anybody liking anybody else in this show.
Decency?
Because you think it's all about you.
All I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him, pounding the shit out.
There's our moral compass, Mr. Decent.
I'm sorry. I know that you never got upset about anybody.
I also wouldn't call myself a decent person.
I never squared off with anybody in, say, a company flag football game. Did you?
Good point,
you,
Paul.
Have you?
Good point, Paul.
I never lost
football.
Control.
Get your facts right if you're going to come.
Well, it was touch until you decided to punch the guy in the
then
back.
Then it was punch football.
Yeah. Terribly
poop.
That day?
Poop.
But some random thoughts from Neil from Montreal. How did the Bruins get Michael Palin to grow a mustache and sing the national anthem? That's a good point. I was happy to see the Bruins win, and yes, I am a Canadian fan.
Sarah's husband?
It shows that there is a sense of fair play in the cosmic universe, considering their choke last year to Philly. Any team that lets Brad Marchand punch one of their best players 4, 5, or 6 times and get away with it doesn't deserve to win. A lot of Vancouver fans are saying that,
am
too.
Am I the only one that
how
didn't
could
like
they not?
That as a Bruins fan?
I didn't like it either, but how do you as a Vancouver fan sit back and not watch your team retaliate for that? You know?
No, the bigger problem was Vancouver's reaction to it. Sedin's reaction and the fact that no one came over. But you knew he was a guy that doesn't fight. And he's not going to do anything back. To me, that's just like picking on someone.
Right.
Now, if he had done that to Kessler and Kessler chose to react the way he did, I wouldn't have any problem with it. It's a tough guy, Ryan Kessler.
Well, look,
I love Marshawn.
He's like our guy. He's like Danny Ainge. We love him, but every other
Everyone
team
hates
him.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
And I can definitely see that. You turned your mic off.
Can definitely see that.
Neil also says, my major concern with the 2011 Patriots is one that I have not heard any of you guys directly address. Tom Brady had an incredible 2010 season. He will not likely duplicate it. Something will happen, injuries, opposition adjustments, but more likely the law of averages. Also, the team's turnover ratio was the NFL's best ever, I believe, in 2010. The law of averages says that it will deteriorate. Therefore, the defense will likely have to play much, much better. And I have the same concerns you all do about the defense. I would be thrilled with a 12-4 record, but expect 10 or 11 wins.
Wow. I think your second point is
I think
on.
That's a very that's
without
one.
McCourty's downfield picks, you're in trouble. Brady, I have no concern.
But the turnover ratio in general, you can be great and not turn right. the ball over, what, 10 times all year? What was it?
I thought it was 9.
9 times? I mean, you can be great at protecting the ball and turn it over twice as many times as that. You know, mm-hmm. and how much of a difference would that have made in some of those games, especially early in the year when they seem to be living right on the edge? That's one of those things. You know, when we do the training camp preview, and we always do three reasons why they'll win the Super Bowl, three reasons why they won't, that will be one of the three reasons why we won't.
But it won't be Tom Brady.
No,
I don't think he's going to go out and throw 30 picks.
Turnover ratio.
I have no fear of Tom Brady at all. Zero.
No, I don't have any fear of Brady himself.
In all likelihood, yeah, he's going to throw 12 interceptions next year, not
right,
four.
Right.
Or
he easily could have thrown 12 last year, playing the same exact way.
But to me, that's irrelevant. But he's still going to have a great year.
Right. If you're talking law of averages with Brady, though, the average Tom Brady is still perfectly acceptable.
28 and 4. Right.
It's like the screen pass that he threw against the Jets, you know, the lazy pass.
Mm-hmm. In air quotes.
When he threw that pass,
that was in quotes.
That could have happened during the regular season, but it would have been dropped. Just the way the way this season went, when the other team had opportunities to make plays, more often than not, it didn't.
Right.
Law of averages kept. I don't think Brady will be the reason why the law of averages will catch up to them, but you can play just as well as Brady did last year and throw more than four picks.
That was historic. I mean,
right. Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I think that's the point.
He was the first unanimous MVP. That was one of the greatest seasons ever by a quarterback. Maybe more impressive than the 50 in some ways because of everything that went on the offense and all that blah, blah, blah. So,
but I don't think he's all of a sudden going to forget how to play quarterback. Right. But his
the numbers, average year for Tom Brady is still going to make him one of the top four best quarterbacks in the NFL that season.
I understand the emailer's point.
But you
I
could also say there's no way they're going to be that bad on third down. You know, so that will probably.
I'm not so
improve.
Sure I'm ready to say that.
Well, if you're talking law of averages.
No, but the law of average for crappy players is different than the law of averages for great ones.
Right, but I don't think, you know, they have that many crappy players that they're going to be that bad again. You know? They're going to improve in that. You watch. They'll be better in that category.
But I think they're going to be worse in terms of turnovers on defense.
Maybe,
I'm talking Devin McCourty's picks, Rob Ninkovich, you know.
And that could wash.
Those types of plays.
I don't expect them to finish 32nd in the league on third down. So in that respect, you're right.
Let's see. What else have we got here?
need another set of eyes.
James in Brisbane writes in, hey, guys, how about those Bruins? I know you can't say it on air, so shorten it to effing yes. So two games for you today. The first one is a scenario. You have Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and Bob Kraft under some sort of truth serum.
Nice.
And you get to ask them one question each on any topic you want. So it could be football history, the future or current Patriots team, or something about their personal life. What would be your one question to each of the guys? And the question can be different for each person. So you can ask Tom and Giselle and Bill and Bob about the Pats. I don't know what that means, but anyway. So that's the first game. If you could ask Belichick, Brady, or Kraft, any question, what would you ask them? You know, and
I don't know.
I think with Belichick, it would be something of his opinion on something. You know, like what his real feelings are on a player or a team.
That would be for me. I would like to ask him evaluations of the team and individual, you know, Brady.
Right.
You know, because I think there's an element of
can we use it each week of the regular season and ask him what he really thinks of the other team?
Did you really want to make that trade with the Eagles and the Sixers? You know?
Andy would ask that.
You know, the Super Bowl team.
Give you what you're looking for there?
No. And against the Rams. You know, the 2001 Super Bowl team that he is, you know, just how stunning was it for him? And
Right.
All the different things. You know, what did he really think before the Tuck rule was all, those kinds of things.
And I think with Robert Kraft, the first thing that comes to mind now is what's really going on with the CBA? What owners are really, you know, flies in the ointment, you know?
Which people on both sides are really the fly in the ointment.
Yeah, so, and then with Tom Brady, well, what's it like?
I don't think I would ask that.
No?
No.
Okay. Secondly, the game is, and this is just for fun, my friends and I were discussing the other night whether or not these girls were hot.
Yes.
This is what guys do, Eric.
Oh, screw you, James.
And I thought I'd get your opinions on them. First, Keira Knightley from Pirates of the Caribbean, nicknamed the world's ugliest attractive woman or most attractive ugly woman.
Not a bad face, but she has no chest.
I thought she's pretty.
I think she's thoroughly unattractive.
I think sometimes she looks good and sometimes she does not.
So she's a two-faced.
But I don't think she's ugly. Seinfeld,
no, she's not ugly.
She goes from just a
average,
jaw, just average. A woman to...
Now, why is Chris Berman doing golf?
He does.
Fred, we're on the radio. Oh. No one can see that. It's getting a little ridiculous, Fred.
Oh, okay. Anna Paquin from True Blood. I don't know who
she is. She was also in X-Men, the original X-Men. She was the one with like the white streak in her hair.
Okay. I don't know her.
She's all right. She's okay.
Not crazy about her.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know her?
Not crazy.
How about Olivia Wilde from House?
Yes.
She's hot.
I don't know that.
She's hot.
I don't know
She's
House.
Hot.
Yeah.
And her name's Wilde. I
mean. Liz Hurley from Austin Powers.
Oh, yeah.
She was hot in the day.
Yeah. And Sarah Chalk from Scrubs.
I don't know her.
Starting to grow on me a little bit.
I don't know her.
She's in the sitcom that's on now that I don't think probably won't get back. It's like one of those fill-ins on... CBS, I want to say. I forget the name of it. But he's with that guy from America, Jason Biggs, the guy from American Pie. They're in a sitcom together.
She's not
bad looking.
Okay. I don't think
not hot. Yeah. I wouldn't say hot.
Okay.
But not bad looking. Better looking than Keira Knightley, that's for sure.
So Brisbane says, James says, hoping the Pats can relegate the Sox to the longest title drought this season. So that's the idea.
What?
To get back
Pats can relegate the
back
Sox
on
to the longest drought.
In the saddle. Let's go to the phones. Orlando's been holding on for a while. He's from Springfield. Hey, Orlando, how you doing?
Hey, fellas, what's happening? How's everything going?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Not bad. Happy to see the Bruins won.
Yep.
Not a hockey fan by any stretch, but it's good to see another Boston team win a title.
That's right. Finishing out the four-pack.
Absolutely. Listen, got a question, man. First of all, before I go any further, man, first of all, I want to say, man, I don't know who it is. I know it's one of the callers who calls in, man. He does this Christopher Walken impression.
Oh, that's Swig.
Tell that dude to call back in, man.
Oh, he's
whenever
great, isn't he?
Impression, I'm dying. Whenever he calls and does that impression, I'm like laughing my butt off.
Yeah, that's legit.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Secondly, I heard you guys talking about Adalys Thomas, right? In your opinion, just real quick, do you think that what happened to Adalys Thomas where you know, he looked good in that system. Do you think it's kind of the same thing like that would happen with a lot of the Cowboys, like stars, like a lot of the Cowboys defensive players in the 90s? Remember like Dixon Edwards and Larry Brown?
Yeah,
they
probably.
They looked fantastic in that system. Then you took them out of it and it looked, you know, like it exposed them. Do you think that's kind of the same thing with Adalys Thomas?
Yeah, I think there's probably some correlation there. I agree.
Okay, cool. All right, listen, guys, the reason why I called was the wide receiver position. I mean, out of the wide receivers that are out there now, that are going to be free agents hopefully when the CBA gets locked up, who do you think would probably like fit our system more? Like guys like, and I'm talking in particular about like Steve Smith with the Giants, James Jones with the Packers, and like you know maybe even you know possibly like Malcolm Floyd, you know, with the Chargers. Do you think any of those guys would fit well in our system?
I like Malcolm Floyd for the down-the-field presence. Young Randy Moss role. Get down the field, stretch it a little bit.
Yeah, Andy and I sort of fell in love with him in 08, I want to say, out there in San Diego.
Mm-hmm. The Delta O'Neal game.
Well, yeah, very good. The Delta O'Neal game.
He looks surprised at me, like, because I remember a name. He's now lumping me in with you,
no,
Fred.
But I mean, calling it the Delta O'Neal game, I think that's the part of it. No.
I'm not on Fred's
Shut
level
up and
of stop forgetting
being,
stuff.
Go back behind the velvet
I've
ropes.
Always loved so Steve sensitive. Smith. I know he has, you know, his... temper problems, but
different guy.
This guy can go under.
He's
guy
talking about the giant Steve Smith.
Oh,
the big O, I think, is talking about.
Okay,
no.
Who I think is
that's what I'm talking about. I'm not at that level.
Orlando, I think he's a great fit for the Patriots offense, but I think you kind of have an overload of that because he's a slot guy. That's where he's going to do his damage. You have Welker still. You have Branch to a lesser extent because he does his best work really inside. And you even have Edelman now, who I think is looking to break out into a bigger role. So I'm not sure you need more of that same kind of thing.
Now what about James Jones from the Packers? I mean, supposedly this guy's got he's got speed and I've seen him do some things where it's like, wow, hey, maybe not on a consistent level, but I mean, do you think he would fit as more of an outside guy or do you think he wouldn't fit our system at all?
I would consider him.
I don't know enough about James Jones. I don't know if he's an inside guy or an outside guy.
He's more of an outside guy.
I think he
guy.
Is, but he's to me Floyd is more proven. That he's an outside guy with big play down the field ability. So I think he would be more of a prime target.
Okay. All right. Last thing. Randy Moss. Do you take him back on an extremely team friendly deal?
Nope.
You know, money wise. Do you take him back or do you just say,
No, it's over.
See you later.
It's over.
I think you move on. You gotta go.
I finally agree.
Really?
Yeah.
I was gonna say Andy thinks they should. And
I'm
we all
kind
don't.
Of in my Taylor Price mode. And if you bring back Moss, and if you still give Tate a couple plays, well, then Taylor Price is now wasted again. I want to see if Taylor Price can play. Let's move on. Let's go down the Taylor Price, even Julian Edelman road.
Yeah, but doesn't
get some
the same
of these young
thing happen
receivers.
If you bring in Malcolm Floyd?
Yeah, but Malcolm Floyd would be the answer for the next 8 years. Yeah. If I bring in Randy Moss, at most he's an answer for this year.
Okay, all right.
Malcolm Floyd would be the future.
Okay.
I would only go after Malcolm Floyd if I were sure he was going to be great and Price isn't.
All right.
All right, fellas. As usual, you guys put it together like nobody else.
All right, Orlando. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Orlando.
I could have used a little more cowbell. I got to have more cowbell.
That's the real.
I think the fake is better than the real.
Guys, he's really good.
He is. He's more entertaining than the real.
I was watching Catch Me If You Can the other day.
Oh, good movie.
DiCaprio.
Yeah.
And
Tom Hanks.
You know, he plays the father.
Right.
And I was just laughing. Every scene that he's in, he makes me laugh because I think of Swig.
Yeah.
You know, Swig, just talking like that.
Yeah. Shivram, who called, followed up with an email, a little poem. Shivram. There was once a team of Canucks, a group of cheap-hitting schmucks.
Oh, boy.
For the hit on Horton, they'll answer with Thornton, and Luong can't save the puck.
Not bad.
Okay.
Didn't think it would be clean.
I didn't think
I thought for sure there was a,
Yeah. Nantucket.
Exactly.
So that's good one from Shivram.
good one from Shivram.
He's talking in bad one pentameter now
from Fred.
Well, Nick Kostos, a producer at Sirius NFL Radio and Giants fan, tweeted last night after the Bruins victory, you know what was a better sports moment than what happened tonight? This. And the video is the Plaxico TD against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Good for him.
You want to fight him?
Speaking of
I will.
Jake Steele, take him out.
I will, he says.
As soon as he puts the garbage out.
Put the garbage out. Mow the lawn so you have no excuses.
Make sure you turn the iron off.
That fortunate, what is it, the fortunate 50 list that they have with the athletes, the highest paid athletes? Is that what Sports Illustrated comes out with?
I don't know.
I just got an email from them. I didn't read it.
Yeah, Brady is the third quarterback. He's in the top 10, but the third quarterback. I don't have the list of.
Now, does
all
this
the
go
guys.
For 1 year compensation?
Yeah.
So like he got his bonus money.
Like Tiger Woods is still number one, believe it or not.
I believe it.
All the money he made.
we're all
down to $62 million this year after being up to 90 last year. Tough year.
We're all concerned of Paul's health with all the soda that he drinks. Shaheen from L.A. Sends a link, the link is what happens to your body after you drink a soda every day for a long time.
Peyton Manning is four. Yeah.
Paul's just ignoring it.
Yeah.
He's got the blinders on.
Yeah.
His head in the sand. He's an ostrich.
Oh, I was told that Ryan... Matt Ryan is eight. Brady is nine.
Going to ignore him until he dies.
It says,
yes, I am.
You'll be fatter.
Yep.
You'll probably have diabetes. Nope. You're much more likely to develop heart disease.
Did anybody tell him that it's diet?
And you're probably
soda?
Also
the diabetes and the fat. There's no calories and no sugar.
Imagine how fat he'd be if there were calories.
Anyway, we can move
right
on.
Right now, he's just retaining water.
it says,
I resign.
It says, you're probably also less healthy in other ways.
That's the bacon cheeseburger sub I ate that's responsible for that.
You know, a 2007 study published in Circulation suggested that diet sodas have some of the same effect on health as regular sodas, despite having none or very little of the sugar. Why? Drinking soda is typically part of an overall lifestyle that's not very healthy. We know you don't like us to compare drinking caffeine and sugar to substance abuse, but when it comes to your lifestyle, some think that soda is just a gateway drug.
Well, okay. I kind of agree with that, and I've always agreed. All these studies, I agree with that. It's like when they tell you people that go to the dentist are always healthier. Well, that's because people that take the time and have the money to go to the dentist are going to be healthier. Well, it's not a direct tie to actually going to the dentist.
Right.
And lifestyle. You hear that
the
majority of
up.
Smokers come from lower class areas.
Right.
It's
yeah. Right. I mean, but in this story, it has a little illustration. The gateway opens up to a Miller Lite. It's
great.
Paul not playing.
I can't get back to
I appreciate game, the concern.
The smoking thing seems counterintuitive.
Yeah, because it's like $10 a pack. Yeah.
And it's ridiculously expensive. It's also the
Maybe
less money, the less
drunk.
Disposable income you have, the more you play the lottery.
Exactly. I was just going to say, who do you see sitting playing Keno?
But at least there's a payoff.
You know,
there.
It's not Robert Kraft. You know, it's the people that can least afford to lose the money. Dog Track, another one. You can these guys. You know that they're there with their weekly check, just spending it on that instead of food for the kids.
That's a sad
food for
sad
the kids.
State of affairs.
And then the next thing you know, they're talking about abortion.
Oh man, I can't. I think our email's down.
I got a tweet earlier that said the website that was down. The
app
was down.
I got that too.
Let's go to the phones then. 508-298-0398. Alan George is on the line. Hey, Al.
Fellas, how you doing?
Good. Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Is this Boston Bruins in progress today?
Sure it is.
Better believe it.
Absolutely.
We're all puckheads.
Well, I guess we deserve to bump each other's tires a little bit, considering, you know.
Absolutely.
As long as Eric sticks to the tires.
I've got to plead guilty. Going into this playoff run here, you know, living where I do, there's not a lot of hockey.
And they're leaving town, right?
Not a lot of interest in it.
Isn't the Atlanta team leaving town?
Before the playoffs to name
listen, does he, over there?
Five Boston Bruins other than Tim Thomas, I couldn't do it. But as the playoffs progressed, I mean, you got to know the guys, at least I got to know the guys a little bit better and kind of figured out who did what. And it ended up being a really, I think this is actually a very, even with the injuries, a very good team. And hopefully they can keep I know they have free agency and a cap in the NHL these days, but hopefully they can keep these guys together, you know, down the road here a little bit.
Well, a lot of them are signed.
Yeah, and the cap is going to go up, which is going to give them some money. They have three or four guys. Well, Recchi retired.
Right.
Cabrelet, one of their defensemen, who didn't really play all that well. And Michael Ryder is a third-line winger, who's a gifted goal scorer, but a definitely replaceable part. Those are really their only free agents. They have some younger guys who are restricted, like Marchmont, my favorite, that they'll be able to retain. But, yeah, Andy's right. Mm-hmm. All of the key guys, most of them are young, and all of them are tied up long-term. Chara, Seidenberg, Ferentz, Bergeron, Krejci, Lucic, Horton, Sagan. All these guys, most of them are
good
young,
deal.
And they're all signed long-term.
Well, very good. And going from the young to the old, I mean, it was a treat certainly for somebody of my age to see Johnny Busick, you know, last night hoisting the cup on the post game. And, you know, there just isn't any way to describe, guys, how smoking hot the Bruins were during that Orin Esposito era there. I mean, it just was unreal.
Oh, I mean, you know, Al, you probably remember in the Boston area, hockey rinks were erected because of Bobby Orr and the Bruins.
MDC, the MDC ring.
You know, and that was absolutely attributable to the Bruins' success.
Absolutely.
So
Massachusetts District Commissioner rinks, they were all, you know, because of that team and that period of time. And hopefully they're all still open. Hopefully the interest has maintained in New England over the years.
The one in Brighton's still there.
I think they're all still open. Yeah. I don't know if the interest is still as high as it was.
Maybe this will help.
Right.
But, yeah, you're absolutely right. And as a kid who grew up in the 70s, everybody played. You know, you didn't know anybody who wasn't skating or playing some kind of hockey, whether it was street hockey, definitely not on the radar.
The Globe actually had the Boston Street Hockey League would have their standings in the Boston Globe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy to think about that they would actually devote space in the paper Street Hockey League.
Paul and I were reminiscing the other day. Does the word Mylick mean anything to you? I mean,
street hockey stuff.
If you were a kid back then, everyone had your Mylick puck or Mylick street hockey ball. And
the sticks, the pads.
Yep.
Well, I grew up in New Hampshire. There was we had a sporting goods store downtown. We had one sporting goods store, a pretty kind of small town. So we had one sporting goods store where you got everything. You know, you didn't specialize or, you know, if you wanted sneakers, if you wanted your skate sharpened, if you wanted to buy a stick, whatever, you just went to this one place. And they had some kind of connection. At the time, there was a 2-foot by 3-foot poster of every member of the Boston Bruins that you could get if you wanted. If you wanted a Wayne Swoop Carlton 2-foot by 3-foot poster, you could get it. I mean, it's like they were all super. Of course, Orin Esposito stood above the pack, but they were all really well-known and incredibly popular. Yeah. You couldn't stand next to a ticket to get into the Garden back then. They would sell the tickets. Every couple of months, there'd be a little blurb in the paper that you had to see. If you didn't see it in the Globe, they didn't really publicize, so you just missed it. But if you saw the little blurb, they would sell like a group of them. They'd say, well, the next 10 games starting on X date will be on sale. And you had to stand in line literally at 3 in the afternoon the day before the morning of when the tickets would go on sale to even have a shot. At getting any. I mean, it was just incredible how popular they were. And then you guys know the story. I guess Orin Esposito left in the mid-70s and it kind of tailed off. And I've been living down here. We just lost the Thrashers for what that's worth. they moved again. We had the Flames and then the Thrashers have both moved. So I don't know if that's 2 strikes and you're out or we're down to our 3rd strike or whatever. Certainly the satellite dish is a wonderful thing, and I'll try to keep up with them, you know, better next year. I didn't this year until the playoffs, and, you know, maybe next year I'll get the package or whatever and try to follow them.
Well, that's the beauty of those sports, both winter sports. You don't really need to follow that much in the regular season. You know, you keep track, and then when the playoffs come, it's a different brand of hockey anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember the one year, though, with the Celtics, I made a commitment to watch all 82 Celtics games, and I did. It was during the Bird era, but I watched every game live
now,
on
Andy,
TV.
Now, Andy, should come as no surprise that Fred jumped on the Celtics bandwagon shortly after they drafted Larry Bird.
Al, they have announced it's going to be Saturday at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock?
Yep.
Well, will that dovetail into the Red Sox game maybe, or?
I would assume.
Yeah, that's a 1-something.
So it's an afternoon game on Fox. I don't know what time.
I think they're playing in the afternoon on Saturday.
Maybe they go over to Fenway. Maybe the Bruins,
have them go over to Fenway.
Yeah, throw out the first pitch or whatever.
That would be cool.
I think Al's playing the role of Fred in this phone call.
They should go to Fenway.
All right, Al, thanks for the call. Yeah.
Fellas, have a great one. All right. Go Bruins.
Okay.
Peace out, Al.
Thanks, Al.
Oh, Greg from the billing department writes in.
Al's got a very soothing voice.
Yeah, he does.
That?
He's got a good radio voice. Yeah. What's up, guys?
He uses it a lot, too.
Says Greg, what a game last night and what a series. It's too bad that the Vancouver fans had to tarnish it by rioting in the streets. Oh, well, what can you do? I knew it was over after Bergeron scored the first goal and Thomas immediately made an amazing save. He was a monster throughout the playoffs and especially in the finals. Marchand is the up-and-coming star in the NHL. He's a firecracker. It was nice watching the hockey this postseason. It was good distraction from the whole CBA thing. The only bad thing about the Bruins winning the cup is that all real sports are on hiatus right now, and we're stuck with baseball. Don't get me wrong. I like baseball, but I just can't sit there and watch it for the next 2 months.
Yeah, you're right.
We at least need some football news, so I had a really strange dream the other night. I was in a room looking for someone or something when I heard a voice tell me that if I wanted to find the doorway that I was looking for, that I needed to reach up, and I would be able to feel it. So I reached up, felt a different surface than what was visibly there, and started trying to reach higher for the doorknob. I hear the voice telling me that it's right there. I just need to reach a little higher. So I do. I reach and reach and finally reach the doorknob, and right before I wake up to realize that I had just pulled a Beatles painting off my wall in my bedroom, the voice says, "I'm Jake Steele, bitch." I don't know what that means. Anyway, I have no idea why I dreamt that or why Jake Steele, the Cadillac crime fighter, would appear in my dream, but I figured that I'd share that one with you. All right, guys, have a good day. Enjoy your show, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
I'm Jake Steele,
wow.
Bitch.
That might be my tagline. I'm Jake Steele, you bitch.
No, I don't think
we'll
you
see
need
you.
The,
yeah.
It's not you.
Next Tuesday.
Not you.
No, just bitch.
It's a takeoff of the Rick James thing from the, was it the Chappelle show, right?
Yeah.
Now, I don't like that tagline. I'll have to come up with another tagline.
How about I'm a gay porn star?
I can go with that one.
I'm not going to go with that tagline. That's not the tagline I'm going to go with.
Let's be clear. I take it in the rear.
Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398.
Mark tape on that one, Kevin.
Scott in Maryland's on the phone. Hey, Scott.
Hey.
Hey.
Sup?
Hey.
Sorry
we woke you.
So I was,
I'm so wasted.
This is Jody Hartman.
Are you smoking bongs?
I can't be. I'm 13.
Oh.
Doesn't mean you can't be.
Doesn't mean, yeah, exactly. He obviously didn't grow up in Everett, but anyway.
Not that you should, by the way.
No. We're not condoning such behavior.
I just wanted to say, Jake Steele, you guys know he's not. How'd you come up with that name?
You know, I don't know. I think
just popped into Fred's head.
We talked of
repressed memories.
When's the first time I came up with Jake Steele?
Oh, a long time ago.
Yeah, years ago.
And you just said, I don't know, Jake Steele.
Have you searched him up on Google Images?
Well, yes.
No.
Someone
gay
has.
Porn star.
Yeah. I haven't.
Yeah, I know.
Fred has seen his junk.
I wanted to warn you about that. I didn't.
No, Fred actually likes that. It's a part of the character.
He seeks that out. Yeah. So just to clarify, at age 13, too young for a bong, not too young
gay porn.
To Google gay porn stars. Okay.
Just searched it up.
Okay.
I just have one football question.
Well. All right, football question.
We don't take
questions. Would you rather have an old but very productive receiver, or do you have a young and had a lot of room to grow?
Young and room to grow.
Old and very productive.
All right.
You mean right now? Like for this year?
Yeah, like right now.
For this
now.
Year's team, I think I would go with the old, very productive.
Old, very productive. Let's win now.
Yeah. I go that way, too.
Like who? Will you? Like Ocho Cinco?
Larry Fitzgerald.
He's not old.
Like 27.
He's very productive, though.
Yeah, but that,
I'll settle for the best in the league.
He's not the cat. Yeah. Dante Stallworth.
Who tweeted this weekend.
Yeah.
Picture with Welker and said reunion.
That's a good
one.
He
could
produce. We talked about it on Tuesday.
That's a good one.
Assuming he could produce, would you take him?
Yes.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that what you had in mind there?
So when Eric and I said we would take him on
young
Tuesday,
Scott?
Fred scoffed at us. Now Andy's here. So
right. So now
Mr. Football agrees and, you know, we're in.
Is that what you had in mind, Scott?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have any suggestions?
Larry Fitzgerald's fraud.
No, I would have taken a younger guy.
Okay, you're going to go. You want the young and up and coming.
Taylor Price.
No, Sidney Rice.
Yeah,
Sidney Rice.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm with him there,
okay.
too.
So is that any more
less
ridiculous than Larry Fitzgerald?
He couldn't play his own game.
But that's not fair, Scott, because that's young and productive. You know,
he's not that productive.
More productive than any one-year guy that you could possibly pick up. Sidney Rice is a better player than any one-year guy that you could get. Ocho Cinco.
Wasn't a young guy on the free agent except him.
Malcolm Floyd.
He's almost 30.
Is he really?
Well, I mean, that's still not that old.
What are we considering old and what are we considering young?
Old, 30 or above, young.
Under 30.
Well, Malcolm Floyd is less than 30, so I would consider him young.
He's still. No, I said young is 25.
Oh, young is 25.
25. Well, Sidney Rice has got to be older than 25, no?
No,
he's not, actually.
So you're talking, though... You're talking all guys, if they're 25, probably still in their rookie contract. So, I mean, guys don't really become free agents. Well, I guess some of them come, you know, at 23, 24.
Well, if we're going to trade, then I want Larry Fitzgerald. Now we're back to that.
Yeah. Right? So much to give up for them.
I'll give up anything they want. I get an extra one next year. I'll give them a one and something. One and a two.
One and something.
One and a two next year for Larry Fitzgerald.
Now, Scott, you're in Maryland. Are you a big lacrosse fan?
No.
You're not?
No.
You say that with disdain. You don't like lacrosse.
Do you like anything?
I don't like lacrosse.
Okay.
You seem like you don't really like stuff.
Are you on the Eastern Shore?
Yeah, I'm in Maryland.
Okay. Do you know Brad?
Do you know Brad from the Eastern Shore?
No.
Okay.
Do you like crab?
I love crab.
Have you ever gotten any?
Maybe. Crab?
Stop. He's 13. Leave him alone.
You know what they say? You are what you eat, and you sound like a real crab.
All right, Scott. Eric's a, we're only kidding with you. Thanks for the call. Scott from Maryland, who's only 13, and we'll be hearing from his mother in about 20 minutes.
No, we're not the one who Googled Jake Steele porn.
Hey, he called us.
That's right.
That's true.
We have a disclaimer, right, still?
Maybe we. Yeah. You know what? That would be a different radio show. We call people. Hey, do you want to be on the air?
Not stupid.
Do you have any Patriots questions?
Very funny.
Because you mean like calling randomly?
Yeah.
Just whoever picks up.
Would you like to talk about the Patriots?
I think we should do it. That would be good radio. Call somebody. Let's do it.
Well, there used to be a show in Rhode Island. It was a staple of anyone over 50 years old. My grandmother watched it. It's called Dialing for Dollars.
George Allen was the host, right?
I don't remember. I don't remember, but it's called Dialing for Dollars, and they would literally go in the phone book.
They would pick out a name.
Somebody, and if you were there and picked up the phone, you'd win money.
Yep. It was George Allen, the late George Allen.
Okay, you remember that?
Not the same guy who coached the Redskins.
You remember? Do they still have that show in Rhode Island?
No. It when I was growing up, it was just
there's probably
the
a
end
law
this...
against that now. You can't do it.
Probably.
I think it would be a funny radio show though.
They would show a movie.
Yes.
They would show a movie
in between, or something.
I
can't remember that.
They would say, okay, now we're going to call so-and-so. And then he'd pick a phone, he'd get a phone book and he would
and
point to it.
And you would be watching. I mean, there were people that they wouldn't miss that because, God forbid, you get that call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think ESPN, the magazine, does the thing where they call a guy of the same name of somebody famous.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, they did Tim Thomas last week.
And they would say, you know, you only gave up 8 goals or something about 8 goals. And the guy, well, my goal this year was just to mow the lawn or something.
There's actually a reality show coming out about that, I believe. Reggie Bush was tweeting about it a couple of weeks ago that he just filmed something, I think it's for NBC, where they went to some town and found a guy named Reggie Bush. And the Saints' Reggie Bush had to live this guy's lifestyle for a week, and that guy got to be a pro football player's lifestyle for a week. And
that's interesting.
They're doing something like that. Wow.
I've always wondered that about that wife swap show. We really swapping here?
How far are we taking this?
Exactly. Ratings would definitely go up. There's no doubt in my mind. If you put hot women and whatever,
What was the New York Yankees? The teammates for the Yankees in the 70s that switched wives.
Oh, right, I remember that. Yeah.
What do you mean switched wives?
They swung.
They wife swapped.
They swung, and not just at the plate.
But they didn't. It wasn't just. It wasn't really a swinging thing. They switched wives permanently.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
I thought they were just swung.
No. They swung
and then they realized, oh.
It was like a first baseman.
I don't have any idea.
I guess they all got to home plate, right?
Kevin's not paying attention with the things over there.
He's very busy.
Working on some audio.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
Very busy. Yeah.
This is the kind of stuff you can't do during the pregame social. Work on other things.
What do you mean?
You have to focus.
You have to focus on the show.
No, I know, but I mean if you want.
What do you mean? I know.
Oh, okay. I give up.
Now he's mad at me.
What is it about people?
Mr. Collins,
nowadays,
I apologize again.
You ever notice a lot of people, like,
Kevin's
ask them a question and they say, no, yeah.
Yes.
What is that?
Or yeah, no.
What is
Paul
that?
Does that all the time. Paul goes, no, I don't think so. But I do it on purpose.
But what is that all about?
Well, and the new geek thing that I don't like, the so.
So, yeah.
And that, you start every sentence with NFL.com meeting. So,
how do I do this?
So, what you do? You
every
don't need
sentence
so.
Starts with so. I don't need
leave
the
so out of it.
Tell me the answer.
That. Oh, it's terrible.
You mean it's kind of like the starting geeks. Every show with all right?
Yeah, but that's his thing.
No.
So I'd be careful if I were you. We've got yeah, no. We've got rioting after sporting events and taking pictures of your junk. Trends.
Are they trending on Twitter?
They might be. But I
hashtag.
I never understood the yeah, no. Well, which is it?
Well, I do. Yeah.
Bill Belichick does it, you know. And when he says "yeah," I always go to Paul. He agreed with me, even though the rest of it is the no part. He agreed with me first.
You can use that quote. It's like a dismissive.
Belichick
thing.
Agreed.
You know, like you're dismissing the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Well, no, but that one is.
That's how I do it. Not like, yeah. Oh no. Not like I'm changing my mind in the middle of the
answer. You're confirming you heard what they said, but you're disagreeing with it.
That's how Bill uses it.
Yeah.
It's not how I choose to hear it.
But I hear other people
depending on
say
what,
it,
Bill, what Andy's looking for.
You know, just as a matter of talking. Yeah, no. And it's like...
It's filler.
Yeah.
It's just the same as asking the question again like Glenn Ordway does. It's filler, time killer,
formulate your thoughts.
I don't either. It's okay to have a little silence before you answer. It's okay to just be dead air.
Right. Let's go back to the phones. 508-298-0398. Is the Ace Ticket Hotline, Joey in South Florida. Hey, Joey.
Hey, Fred, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing unbelievable after last night. I don't even know where to begin. I mean, that was epic. It was epic. But I think you've gone to a new low asking a 13-year-old if he's caught any crabs.
Yeah.
No, but I used to catch crabs down in Florida.
At the University of Tampa.
I did. Down in Tampa, we used to catch the blue crabs. We used to take a chicken neck, tie it to a string.
They really have blue crabs in Florida?
Yes, they did. And the other end of the string, you tie to a stick, and you throw the chicken neck out in the water, and you put the stick in the sand. And when it starts to move, you go in with a net, and you would just scoop up the crab. And then we'd boil them up with butter.
Delicious.
Delicious.
I used to do that at my
I used to get crabs all the time in Florida.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Your fault, Joey. Your fault.
I'm not too far from Tampa, actually.
Yeah.
I'm about 80 miles south.
Okay.
Right on the coast.
Yep.
So I know about catching crabs.
Does your wife know?
Hey, listen, Fred, guys, I got to tell you, a bunch of friends were watching the game, sports bar, down here in Northport, right? And when Patrice Bergeron torpedoed in that third goal late in the game, we went nuts. I almost swore. Sorry. I mean, we went berserk. That is going to be remembered for a long, long time. That was an epic, epic Stanley Cup.
Well, the whole series. The way they just took it to this pussy team
and all that.
Oh, by the way, I have a bone to pick with you, Fred.
Oh boy, here we go.
Well, you know, I sent that the email. If I had a penis. All the sexual innuendo that Andy throws around.
Yeah.
And you never played that song, and it's pretty clean.
I don't ever know what you're talking about.
I emailed the song.
Okay.
And Kevin is quality controlling it.
I got it now.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
If we can do something with it, Joey.
I mean,
it's funny as hell.
Yeah,
it's
okay. We usually don't play songs on the show, but maybe we'll give it a listen.
We usually talk about the Bruins.
Okay.
You guys,
and infomercials.
I got to tell you, I just want you guys to know, the show, it cracks me up. You're informative. The blog is great. All the information. I mean, it's tremendous. You guys do a tremendous job.
Thank you very much, Joey.
Let's see if I got anything else I want to ask. No, not really.
No, you should cut it off there.
All right, Joey, enjoy Florida. We wish you were there.
Yep.
All right.
Easy on the crabs.
Come down and see you sometime. Yeah.
Okay.
If I get up there, I'll come by and say hello.
All right, good enough.
Bring your crabs with you.
Yeah. I know I had other crap to say, but.
Okay. All right, Joey. See you later.
What?
What is he? He's starting to swear now.
That's what I thought.
He's still drinking from last night.
Champion's starting to spit up blood.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's Joey. Thanks for we enjoy the kind words. That's nice.
Yeah. We need more.
We appreciate that.
Very nice.
Yep. Let's see. I can. He's doing all kinds of audio work stuff.
It's coming. It's very loud through the headphones.
Yeah.
Sorry for trying to work.
You should be paying attention to this show. Okay. Worry about that stuff later.
Okay.
Is it stuff that you need to get done before the show's
stuff
over?
Stuff that I was going to close the show with.
Oh, okay.
But right. I won't do it anymore.
Oh, boy.
It's just
acting like a Sedin sister.
Eric look like a man's man because you are the biggest bitch I've ever met.
It's just like adding one of the PFW writers to the PFW in Progress Facebook page and then getting bitched at for it.
What?
I don't know what
you're
talking
about. When you bitched me out for adding you to the PFW.
Yeah, because you sent out all these ridiculous emails 10 times at once.
I don't bitch at you.
So. I know, and you joined the conversation.
Mr. Collins, just remember, Paul doesn't bitch at Kevin.
No, but there is something wrong because I get your emails multiple times.
And other people have said that.
I just delete the emails.
Eric does like to berate people.
Oh, yeah.
He enjoys berating people.
And I enjoy being
berated.
He's
a bully.
Yeah, he is a bully.
Makes him feel big.
Oh, absolutely.
He's a 150-pound bully.
I get used to it.
He's a finger wagger. You shouldn't do
finger berate
me. Finger wagger.
What does that?
That should be your new
signal.
He's
a finger wagger.
That should be your new signal to me instead of
what
like,
could that
just
possibly
this?
Be?
Just like when I miss something, right, just do that right at me.
Yeah, but usually you're looking in the opposite direction, so you can't see it.
There you go.
At least Gary literally would play solitaire.
Oh yeah,
I would
he
turn around
would,
and
right.
he would have.
We're all set.
But
now.
He was always. But
Steve
was always
Nash
listening.
Told everybody in Vancouver to stop burning stuff, so we're all set now.
Fred,
we don't have anything else to worry about.
But Fred, in all fairness, what's on my computer right now? Though? It's not solitaire.
Audio lines.
Yeah,
audio lines.
There
you go. Sam in Chicago, Vancouver down, LeBron down. Now it's the Pats' turn to get back at the Jets. question about your recent Patriot article. Not sure how it was worded. Top 10 Patriots to watch for development, etc. Why was Edelman or Guyton not on the list? Eric Moore beat them out, or are they more known quantity and their impact isn't as imperative as the others listed, like Chung, Spikes, Woodhead, etc.? So you guys did do a nice thing yesterday as a little slideshow.
Well, Eric Moore was included with Ninkovich and Cunningham
right.
as a trio, slash, slash.
One right. of those guys.
At least one.
Needs to sort of emerge.
Or
as
the
a,
group.
You know, as
itself.
A legitimate outside linebacker threat.
Word.
Productivity from
the other two
group.
Just didn't make the cut.
Yeah, Edelman
we
got
talked
some,
about Edelman.
In all seriousness, Edelman got consideration but didn't make the top 10.
I think part of that
is not
you have Branch
Wes
and
Welker.
Yeah, yeah, it's not because
a year
of,
from now Edelman might be number one.
It's not because yeah. of be. Known quantity, you know, known commodity. It's because no. if Edelman does nothing this year, I don't think it really hurts the team one way or the other.
Right.
We're looking. We were trying to find young guys that we felt need to do something either you know more than they've done, make a step forward, or in the case of like Devin McCourty, maintain what he did last year, not take a significant step back. In order for the team to have success.
And Guyton?
Guyton is kind of a...
situational yeah, I mean, role player.
I mean, we put Spikes in there. I suppose we could have done Spikes slash Guyton the way we did with some other guys. But, again, if Guyton isn't great in his role, I don't think that is a crusher to the defense.
Right. But would you be stunned if Julian Edelman was kind of just a punt returner and...
No.
Not much more?
No.
Would you be stunned if the team won 12 games with Julian Edelman as just a punt returner? That's my point.
They won 14 last year
Edelman
with him
can
not
be
even being a punt returner until, what, the last four games.
If Nate Solder is nothing, I think the offense could be in trouble. The team could be in
Yeah.
That's kind of the...
But, it, you know, I'm glad that people looked at it, and that's what we hope. We wanted to elicit
yeah.
debate and talk. So I hope you went on and commented on it, too. Can you comment on those? On the blog, you can comment. You put the link on the
you can't
blog.
Do that,
I don't think you can.
You can't do that. You can't do that.
But you put the
can't
link.
Can't do that. It's not possible.
You did put the link on the blog.
I'm playing
though,
the role
right?
of Chris
the role
Ferreira
of the
when I ask him anything we could do on the web. Can't do that. Not possible. NFL doesn't want it. Not part of the system.
Well, it's going to cost us $50,000.
$50,000.
Someone else,
oh, that'll cost a lot of money.
Someone
it's not even a freaking slideshow.
Someone
show.
Who's
it's
friends with someone
show.
Else that works here so we can pay them to
it's
do it.
It's actually a gallery. It cheats. A slideshow, you're supposed to have to click through to get to number one. Ours, you just look at number one. It's at the bottom. Stupid.
Hey, did you guys hear about this New Orleans Saints guy that had his ring stolen?
No.
The Super Bowl ring?
Yeah, it was a special teams guy I never heard of. Right?
Yeah, Stanley Arno is a linebacker, special teams guy. But I guess they found the guy, according to strippers. He was a valet, a guy that valeted his car at the Fontainebleau Resort in Miami Beach on Memorial Day weekend. Anyway.
Okay.
I'm not going
to
read the whole thing.
Am I to understand that the
guy
had
tried
his
to
ring
sell it.
In his car?
Just sitting in the cup holder?
Yeah, right.
Well, let's see.
Hanging from the dash like the fuzzy dice. I mean, from the rearview mirror.
Well, it just says this guy's name is Alua. After he got his sticky finger on
Tyson?
The ring, he tried to sell it at Kendall Jewelry,
thanks.
A pawn shop in Southwest Miami-Dade. Alberto Arturi, an employee at the store, offered $1,200 for the ring. That's how much the gold is worth, though the ring is valued at $30,000. Ituri wasn't convinced it was legit. A couple days later, he came back to the store and he asked what we were going to do with the ring. Ituri tells WSVN, I found that odd. I found that very odd. Ituri called police and they determined that Aloha had ransacked Arno's car and stole the $200 and the ring. The valet manager now faces charges of grand theft and dealing in stolen property.
Tough on the ice.
But why do you leave
easy
your ring
on the eyes,
in your car like that, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean,
I guess you could forget or whatever. Took it off
to
wash your hands. And,
right.
I mean, how do you leave it on a bathroom sink like Tully Bandicam?
But I can see that happening more than leaving it in your car.
Maybe he put on some of that Purell stuff to clean his hands
Maybe.
And had his ring off.
Yeah, could be.
Maybe he was nothing. Logging the old log.
Oh, my God.
Just for the record, it took him less than two full seconds to say nothing.
Nothing.
I'm going to
say,
anyway.
It anyway. Right.
What came first, timber? When you cut the tree down, you yell it, or it's called timber when it's on the ground?
I think timber when it's on the ground.
Because I actually thought about this while driving the other day.
Well,
I don't know why.
Why would you yell? You're yelling timber because that's what it is. Watch out for it.
But maybe it's called timber because it fell over and you yelled timber. That's what it is now.
No, that's what it's a, you know.
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Deep Thoughts by Andy Hart.
It really did just pop into my head driving along. I don't know why.
Well, I, you know,
you still have that website link where we used to look up words, not word, but like phrases
using, and everything. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about
maybe there'd be something
something random. You know, like the hockey kind of made me think. You know, like a lot of Irish kids around Boston play hockey, so I started thinking about it. And what you do when you're kids, you always add the Y. So you know, Sullivan becomes Sully.
Yeah.
But Murphy becomes Murph.
Right. You take away the Y. Right.
That's kind of odd, I thought.
Well, it's why is it odd?
Well, because you add Y to
everything.
Why not keep a Murphy? But no, you take the Y off.
Because the nickname is short.
To be a nickname.
Yeah, you have to shorten it,
and it also has to be different.
Yeah.
You don't. I mean.
All right.
Yeah. Generally, the hockey thing is if it's
Heinze.
If it's multiple syllables, you shorten it down to one syllable with a Y.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's one syllable, you add a Y. To make it two syllables.
It's just like the English language. You do certain things. You add ED, you drop the S, you add ING. Like,
and if you're two syllables with a Y, you take the Y off.
Well, I don't
know
if it's a grammar thing.
But it is funny.
No, but there are rules.
Every single guy in hockey has to have. You can never just call him by, you know, it's Rex, it's Berge, you know, it's Z.
I was laughing last night every time they went to Pierre and between the glass.
They can't possibly have a guy that just named in, you know.
Yeah, John.
After what you were saying the other
Horty.
Day.
Yeah. Horty for Horton. I mean. What was I saying the other day? I say so many things. I'm always talking.
About Pierre between the glass when he calls him Doc and...
Doc and Edzo.
Edzo,
every time.
Yeah.
You know, looked like he had a lot of net to shoot at. What did you got, Doc and Edzo, what did you guys think?
I liked last night when Edzo said, he's really struggling here with a hand injury. I'm not going to tell you which one or something.
Yeah. McGuire said
I'm not going to tell you which one.
By the way, early in the second period, you told you it was left hand.
By that time.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he figured the other team had figured it out.
He played the role of Andy and Paul. We had information.
I'm not going to tell
out.
You.
Right.
That was funny. But Edzo again, by the way. Just seriously, what did he have on the Canucks in the series? You think he had 10 large?
You know, I missed it last night. Luckily, there's a replay of the Revs game on now I can watch. Plenty of good seats still available. And when I mean good, I mean front row, 50-yard line.
Brad Feldman looks like Jay Heap's father.
Oh, is that who that was?
Oh, Mansali.
Is he back? Is Heap smaller than I am? Because next to Brad, he looks...
Everyone's smaller than you, Eric, with all that muscle you have.
Eric, he is very small.
Is he?
I think he is smaller than you.
That's why he plays the ladies' game.
Rich from Howell writes in. He says he's moved. He's now rich from Red Bank. Two things. When the
Where's
Patriots
that?
Win
New
the
Jersey.
Super Bowl, it's the Celtics that will have the longest championship drought. The World Series is in October.
Now, actually, it'll be the Red Sox.
Well, he's saying that the Red Sox will win.
Oh, okay. My bad.
And two, the only Nantucket limerick that I know is there once was a man from Nantucket who kept all his money in a bucket. His daughter named Nan ran away with a man, and as for the bucket, Nantucket. In other words, Nantucket. That's not good. You should learn a new limerick. I think, you know, the once was a man from Red Bank. Maybe you can come up with a new one.
Who drove around town in a tank.
Right.
With a woman who was kind of a skank.
And he said, look down and give it a crank.
We are poets. Tremendous. Keep your Herman Melville. We're poets.
Let's see. Oh, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. And Anthony in Naples is on the line. Hey, Anthony.
Anthony's going to get mad at me again.
Hey, what's going on? Eric, you were able to fit through the door today?
Well, I was telling Andy.
Seeing you.
Anthony, I was telling Andy how authentically irate you were. Genuinely mad you were when you called the other day because it was
and humorously so.
No, well, it was fun.
I was still ranting and raving after I got off the phone.
It was great, Anthony. That was your best call ever. First of all, you weren't yelling at me, so it made it one of your best calls ever.
The angry Anthony.
I never yell at you.
You always disagree with me.
No, I listen.
See how I turned that around there, Andy?
That's just the way we speak.
That is true.
So have you sufficiently calmed down now? Are you ready to talk?
No, not really, because it's unbelievable how like delusional you are too.
It's from being an only child. I'm telling you.
Well, not only that, but let me. I can't believe I'm talking about this again. But anyways, but like Eric, let me ask you something. Like Matthew McConaughey, how would you describe his
too
body
easy.
Type?
Beautiful.
Statuesque. If you're asking my wife, you know,
he's
pretty much the perfect.
He's pretty cut. He's pretty cut. Sometimes. Yeah.
No, but I'm asking Eric.
Oh, sorry.
That's what I said.
He's muscular.
No, he's
since he's muscular,
he's in good shape.
He's in good shape. Yeah. Would you say he's bigger than you and he he's more than muscular then?
He is, yeah, probably.
He's more than muscular to you, right?
Yes.
Okay, so
hunkish
well,
is I think what he said.
The Rock. How would you describe The Rock then?
Oh, The Rock is huge.
But, huge.
Yeah.
But he's muscular. Matthew McConaughey to me is more slim and athletic.
He's lean.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
I told you, Fred doesn't like it when you say anything but lean.
It's a wiry muscle. It's a wiry kind of muscular.
Oh, Eric?
Yeah. And that's me talking to you, Anthony, by the way.
What's that?
We're just getting you going here.
If you're just a healthy person, like, the thing is, I think this trip to Africa made you delusional. You went over there and you're like, I am massive. Look at me. I'm muscular. I think that's what happened. Compared to an Ethiopian, yes, I was huge. Huge.
This is better than the call on Tuesday.
This is much better than Tuesday. It was so easy to get you going.
I don't understand it. Like, I really don't understand it. Like, what world are you living in? Do you go work out at Curves?
Oh.
That's why you feel like you're huge?
Anthony, let me ask you a question. Do you think that everything that we say on this show is meant to be taken seriously?
That was...
It was serious.
You were serious. To me, it's just like you have your definitions wrong. Like, I'll call you slim and lean. Okay? You're not fat. You're not anorexic. Okay? You're slim and lean, and then you're about the size that you should be. But to say muscular, you'd to be honest with you, it's just like, no, you're wrong. You're just wrong. Sorry.
Okay, so now you're going to tell me exactly what my intent was when I said that the other day.
I think you were. Eric, I was here.
I wasn't, but you were serious.
Yeah.
So you've never acted serious when you were trying to
you're
be...
You're backtracking.
This
is just like the kicking thing.
Wow.
Where he said it was a joke after he was serious. It's okay.
Yeah, no. There was no jest in that. There wasn't. But anyways, I was calling up because I was glad you guys brought up the ring.
Yeah.
And actually, I had a serious question. You know how sometimes, like the Patriots, they gave you guys rings, right? Or something or other?
Yep, the first time, yep.
The first time, but you guys didn't get it the second time around?
Well, I did.
Well, Fred did.
Fred has a ring from everything. He's got like 10 rings.
Fred's got the 96 AFC Championship ring.
And the 2007 AFC Championship ring. And the Super Bowl rings.
Well, forgot about the 2007 one.
No offense to you guys, but sometimes they give it to the people in the office. Are there different categories of rings, like some that are like knockoffs?
Yes.
Like they're not really diamonds and not really gold, but they do give them out to office personnel?
In 2001, I believe they were all the same for everybody. In 2004, staff such as us got...
Not Fred.
Got it. Yeah, not Fred. Fred got the real
one.
I don't know.
I've never had it appraised.
It was real.
I don't know.
Yes, you got yours at a different time than
but
we
did. But ours were
sitting
not
on a
replicas,
table.
But they weren't they weren't all real diamonds and everything. Right. But in 2001, it was the same one the players got, correct?
Really?
I wouldn't know.
You have literally a $30,000 ring?
It's probably about half that, but yeah.
Okay, because I guess I was a little high with 30. That's probably what they're going for now.
They gave us an appraisal, and that's the ballpark.
Oh, that's pretty neat. Because I've always wondered in
you
the past, I'm like, everybody can't get a real $15,000 ring.
What do you give me for it?
What's that?
What do you give me for it?
A pat on the back. I don't know.
Are you conversing with the cops right now, over the CB? What is that?
No. It's always just been on my mind because I've always kind of shrugged it off.
Static?
Like, no, they didn't give real rings to everybody else, like the janitors. You know, sometimes you hear the stories where it's like, oh, they give it to everybody in the organization. I was just I was always curious about that.
Generally, the first time around, you can assume it's the Red Sox in 2004.
Everybody
who's ever uttered the word Red Sox evidently got a ring.
Yeah.
See, a real one.
You know, and a lot of teams, though, Anthony, when you hear that, it's just the team. You know, here we have the whole stadium and there's a lot of people, but on a lot of teams that don't own their own stadium, it literally is about no more than, what's going on over there?
I don't know. The Red Sox, like I said, in 2004 gave over 500 rings, which I don't know how they came up with that many people, but
I'm still mad I didn't get one.
Anybody who ever uttered the words Red Sox at some point in their life got rings the first time around. I still think he was conversing with Jackie Gleason.
Holding the phone out the window while he drove.
Anyway.
This here's a rubber duck.
Plenty of good seats available in the end zone as well.
Eric, he's upset with you.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. And, you know.
But he started out calm, and then it just was snowballing.
And we didn't even have to go to him.
No.
He wanted to go there.
He is.
Like, he came up with the Africa thing all
on
his own.
He's personally offended.
Yeah.
He is.
He clearly. In the future, Eric, to avoid this type of thing, we'll need some type of hand signal when you don't mean something.
So when we know, yeah.
So then when people get mad, we can tell them, no, he gave us the signal.
Okay, yeah.
Ticked.
Eric's just as mad as Andy.
I wish I could get him in a room right now because
they
would
fight.
Right.
Well, no, clearly Anthony would win because he benches 300 pounds.
But he says he's small.
Yeah.
Right.
He claims he's small. I mean, I've.
He said he was 5'6", 180 something, right.
and he
benches 300.
And he considers himself very small. That's what he said Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
my guess is right now he could squish you like grape.
God, I hope so.
Jason in Binghamton, I usually have to wait for you guys to start talking before I laugh, but I was pretty amused by your disclaimer at the top of the show. It says, the opinions on PFW aren't those of the New England Patriots or its partners. Usually, disclaimers say, aren't necessarily the opinions of such and such, allowing themselves the possibility that something they say may be agreeable to someone.
No.
You just give up all hope that anything you say could possibly be an opinion shared by anyone on the Patriots or with any of their sponsors. You mean Robert or Jonathan doesn't agree with beating a man until he stops breathing? And by the way, Eric...
I'm not so sure about Jonathan.
By the way, Eric, Chaz Palminteri might be a famous Italian-American actor known for his tough guy mafia roles, but in Night at the Roxbury, he played a sexually ambiguous nightclub owner who keeps asking his male coworkers, did you just grab my ass? You may need a different Chaz to go to.
Chaz.
Thankfully, nobody saw that movie, so that's okay.
Night at the Roxbury. I remember the name. Oh, that's with the two guys.
Chris Kattan and the other guy.
I think I saw it in the theater. And really
those, when they move their heads.
Generally, those movies are like, any Saturday Night Live movie.
How do you make a five-minute skip to a two-hour movie?
Right. You can't.
It doesn't work.
I guess Wayne's World was decent.
But okay.
Most of those movies are pretty bad.
Yeah.
Didn't they make like three Wayne's Worlds? A couple of them?
At least two I know of.
Never seen it.
Even the first one? Not bad. Not a bad movie.
Never seen it.
Fat Pat says, blue crabs, Fred? You should have asked that kid if he has any blue waffles lately. That must be an Urban Dictionary thing.
Anyone? Youngster?
It's not like a Waffle House thing or something?
I have no idea. And I do not care.
Do you do the Chronic?
Okay.
You ever see that commercial? It's not my money, and I seriously do not care.
Oh, the guy with the weird eye
looking the other way? The guy's right behind him?
Right.
Yeah, that bothers me, his eye.
That eye bothers you?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not sure if he's looking at you or somebody
else?
Yeah,
a little
weird.
Oh, by the way, this is something I meant to bring up. During the game last night, did you see the Pizza Hut commercial with that weird-looking guy? I mean, this is a guy who looked like his body, he should have the body of a goat or a horse. He had that, like, look. You didn't see it?
If I did, that didn't strike a nerve with me.
Oh, man. And they showed it at least two or three times. And I'm like, why would you pick this guy in your commercial?
Was that for the 50 cent wing?
One
thing?
Half goat.
I forget.
Tuesday, Wednesday, 50 cent wings?
Yeah.
Maybe it was a personal pan pizza.
I mean, he was a Pizza Hut employee, and he would. He was saying, "Oh, this is great, blah, blah.
Pan."
But he looked
never
like
heard of
Pan.
That Greek god Pan, one half goat, the other half man.
Yeah, I mean, he had that look.
Well, there's also the Old Spice commercial where there's a weird.
Yeah, that guy is in
the half horse thing, and
that guy's funny.
Yeah,
he makes
me laugh. Did you know that
look
guy?
Up, look down. Look
that guy used to be an NFL player.
Yeah,
he was on practice squad.
Mustafa.
Yeah.
Najee? He was on the Vikings. Was he on the Vikings?
Mustafa Hamsho.
I forget.
I don't know which team he was on, but he was in the league for like a couple of years.
Yes.
My mouth was closed. Came out my nose.
But this guy, I'm
sorry.
Because Paul doesn't watch commercials.
Well, I don't remember any Pizza Hut commercials. The only commercials, they just play the same ones over and over again.
I know.
The Stanley Cup one that bothers Andy.
Yes.
When the guy that's in charge
takes
of Stanley Cup can't get his credit card to
work are free.
For a plane, but he can take a bus. Evidently, he doesn't need a credit card for that.
Hate the Geico from the 80s. Don't care for the Geico caveman ones.
That's terrible.
Yeah, they were terrible.
Those are
they've never been funny.
No, the
no,
early
they
ones
they were never
very
funny.
Funny.
Then they made it into a TV show, which you knew wouldn't last long. It wasn't going to be funny.
The first couple cavemen were classic.
They
were
they've
really
taken
funny.
It way farther than they should.
I agree with Fred that when this originally came out, I thought they had some humor to
Geico's, I mean, what other company has three different ad campaigns?
Yeah, it's weird.
They have the caveman, they have the gecko, and they have the guy with the hair who says,
but you notice,
I kind of like those. I like those, but they have three different ad campaigns.
But Progressive's doing the same thing now. They got the girl who... you know,
right, flow.
But now they got this other guy that goes around and he drives the old car.
And he's got the bobblehead.
He's got her bobblehead.
Right,
but it's
so they're sort of
guy.
Linked.
Yeah, they're linked, but it's different. I like Mayhem. I like those commercials.
I like Mayhem, too.
Is he progressive?
Because he's good.
No, oh, he's, who is he?
He's, is he Liberty Mutual?
It's not progressive?
Allstate.
Oh, he's Allstate. Yeah. I like Mayhem.
He's the best of all those.
Yeah.
And they have Dennis Haysbert, too.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, you do. The guy from 24.
Oh, 24.
And Jobu from Major League.
I almost just said it.
Yeah, F.U. Jobu.
Yes, because immediately that's what comes to mind. It's like Pavlovian.
Simon writes in, hey guys and Chaz, just spotted.
Who now know was an asexual.
No, I have to go with what Brooklyn Matt gave me. Chaz Candler, Jimi Hendrix's former manager.
Okay, who's dead?
Is he?
Didn't he just die?
And gay.
Know. Oh. No.
And gay. Well, that'd be gay. That'd be gay.
No, I'm thinking of somebody else. The guy from E Street Band.
He's not. Madison. He didn't die. He had a stroke.
Oh, he had a stroke?
Right? Clemens?
Yeah.
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
It's evidently a bad one.
Oh, okay.
Bad stroke.
We should say that Tom Addison passed away.
Tom Addison, original Patriot.
Original Patriot.
Boston Patriot.
60s all.
I think he was on the team for 8 years. 1960 to 68, passed away.
75
South Carolina.
Years old.
Yeah. From complications.
Of?
Yeah, well, he had Alzheimer's, but I think he died of cancer.
I don't mean to laugh, but you just said complications.
Doesn't bode well for Ralph Wilson, then. Complicated proposals.
Simon writes in.
Yeah, I mean, all these owners dead.
Oh, the CBA died of complications.
Sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Addison and anyone else who's listening.
I just like to tell you, last night on the, you know, yesterday morning.
I heard that.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. He thinks
but
he's in a bathroom.
All the scrolls yesterday morning were painting this picture that the CBA could be done. Some were saying within a week or two.
Now that's laughable.
No, last night. There were reports that the CBA talks almost, quote, blew up the night before. So how can you have those two stories?
Depends who you talk to.
There's still a lot of work to be done. But it is hopeful. Simon says, just spotted that Wes Welker is over in the UK at Royal Ascot. Now, what is Royal Ascot? What is that? Is it a hotel? Is it? Eric, we need you. What is Royal?
There's an Ascot question.
Oh. What is the Royal Ascot in the United Kingdom?
I don't know. It's the really special Ascot.
Oh man, it stinks in here because of Big Head. You're unbelievable. That is just.
Do you imagine he claims that they don't smell?
No. Am I claiming that now? When they stink, I know they stink, and that stinks.
We're in a room with no windows, and this kid feels free to just let loose.
No windows.
You know what I mean. To fresh air.
No windows that you can open.
No one ever knows what you mean, Fred.
Oh, God.
So
anyway,
Wes Welker is at the Royal Ascot?
Yeah, don't try to change the subject. Anyway.
No, that was the original subject. My fart stinks. Let's move on. Let's have some maturity and talk football.
It looks like he has a minority ownership, a horse. Oh, the Royal Ascot, I guess, is a racing track.
Okay.
He has a minority ownership in a horse. Guess he's small enough to be a jockey as well.
Funny thing is, he's not.
That got me thinking.
Eric is, of course.
That got me thinking, being 5'7".
Too muscular to be on a horse, though.
Has Chaz ever considered being a jockey?
Mad. See? You stepped on the punchline. That guy wanted to know if you've ever considered being a jockey. Actually, he did dabble in the mid-90s. He was compared to, who's the greatest jockey ever? Paul, do you have
Paul
any
Shoemaker?
Name?
Shoemaker?
He was compared to Paul Shoemaker or Billy Shoemaker or Willie Shoemaker. Some Shoemaker.
Angel Cordero.
I guess his muscular frame ruled him out. I love you really, Eric, but you are just too easy to wind up. The Guardian article
so
is below.
So is Anthony Naples. As we found
I think
out
Anthony
today.
Naples is easier. The Guardian article is below, but it says he's over in the UK until Sunday, and then he returns to the US to start training again. So
maybe he and Brady can work out over. You never know when Brady's going to be in Europe or whatever.
And then he has the whole story.
So what, he's there.
Go to the Brit Oval.
He owns. Yes, he owns
minority
a horse.
Ownership in a horse. That's interesting.
I wouldn't want minority ownership in a horse.
If I had a lot of money and
would you
it
want majority
matter,
ownership?
Yeah. I mean, if I was going to go into horse racing, I'd want the horse to be mine. If I could only afford a little bit lower level, whatever.
Does Wilfork?
Wilfork talked about it. I don't know if he ever bought a horse. He wanted to. He said he was going to.
I think he does have one.
Maybe he does.
But I don't know if it's full
but
or
I'd go all in.
Or...
I mean, I want it to be my horse. I want to celebrate when I win.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't, whatever. I don't want to. I'm one. It's like when the Red Sox bought the team and everybody was an owner.
By the way, a blue waffle is an infection on a woman's part, and I guess it's pretty gross.
Real?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not even an Urban Dictionary. Like, that's no, if that's, I go to the doctor, he's going to say, you got a blue waffle.
Yeah.
That does, that sounds like it would be like
really
weird hearing your doctor say that. It sounds like your doctor was being like childish. It's
not
like
is it from WebMD or like the Mayo Clinic?
Like, it's not like Urban Dictionary for like a yeast infection or something.
No.
Boobs are on TV, Paul. You're going to have to bear with them for a minute.
Sorry.
And not even great boobs. It was like a JCPenney commercial.
Men.
No, it started out with bras, but
no,
it, like JCPenney.
Pretty
good, though.
I'm going to play the role of Andy. I saw men. It was men. Well, that make him gay?
Brooklyn Matt writes in, has some listener on listener crime. Hey, Anthony from Naples, here's a reality check. Tuesday, you ask Eric all these specific questions just so you can get around to the point that you're 5'6 and bench 300 pounds, and today you come back for some more. Dude, you're a guy who's 5'6 bragging that he can bench 300 freaking pounds. No matter how much weight you got on your dumbbell, you'll never grow another inch.
Yeah,
stop trying to offset your obvious insecurity with some transparent posturing on my boy Scalavino. Get a freaking identity.
Telly freaking ho!
Oh!
Who was that from?
Brooklyn Matt.
Definitely something going on between those two.
Boy,
he really came to your aid.
That lost a lot of pizzazz.
But that's
not the only time he came to
Eric. You should have come with that attack.
Eric did come to that attack.
See now.
With Brooklyn Matt.
No, but see, I was just messing around with Anthony. Anthony was actually taking this seriously, which is unfortunate because, you know, we do like to joke around on the show. We do like to pretend that we're serious about things.
Three of us joke around on this show.
He probably works hard to be muscular, and
Fred doesn't
he
joke
takes
around?
Offense at you calling yourself muscular. That's all.
Yeah, but
it was offensive to muscular people everywhere.
We were joking around, which is what we do on this show.
I'm a disgusting blob. It was offensive to me.
You offended the fattest guy in the room. You choose who that was. It was Paul.
I let it go.
Adam in D.C. actually has a football question.
Nice.
He says, as we go over the draft over and over again during the slow offseason, something stood out to me as a possibility for the odd position choices. Aside from Mallett, I believe all of the choices made were positions that tend to do well immediately. Running backs and cornerbacks tend to translate their skills quickly into the pro game, as do most of the linemen, if I'm not mistaken. Granted, Solder may be a project that requires special attention before he can become elite, but do you think that the near certainty of reduced camp time influenced the Patriots to select players and positions who would be least affected by lost time, like wide receivers or tight end, like a more of a road grader tight end than a pass-catching threat? Thanks, guys, and keep up the entertaining work.
I don't buy into any of those general ideas.
Yeah,
no, I mean, don't either.
Tight ends took forever to contribute last year.
I mean, really, what we're talking about.
They became
about,
the heart of the offense.
I mean, I know we talk about running back as one that can assimilate quicker, but the only position that really takes some time historically are the quarterbacks sometimes in wide receivers.
Yeah.
Other than
or all of them.
Well,
or all the corners they've drafted in the second round over the last 5 years that didn't develop ever.
Right.
To me, it comes down to talent.
Right. Right. I mean, I think aside you look at it.
Aside from quarterback, aside, you can be an extremely talented quarterback. It takes you a little while.
Aside from Dowling, I think it's clear they drafted at need. They needed a left tackle. They needed running backs. I mean, they had needs that they had to fill.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think that's what it was. Not
I
necessarily, oh, this guy's going to be ready
the
to play.
The pick of the cornerback was the only one that really made me scratch my head. Now, I was stunned by Mallett because I wasn't expecting them to take a quarterback that high. But I can certainly understand what they were thinking and what they did. But Dowling was the one really, really surprising pick to me in terms of position. But I'm with you guys. I don't think there's really that much of a difference between the adjustment time at any position, really. I mean, wide receivers, they say a lot of times, but it seems first-round wide receivers take a long time. You get them in the second round, like we did with Branch, and other, you know, Greg Jennings with the Packers and a lot of other guys, they seem to fit right in quickly.
What do you got there, Andy?
I just wanted to once again congratulate the Boston Bruins for their Game 7 victory over the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah.
And I wanted to urge our listeners to hang on after the close of the show for a tribute to the Bruins winning the Cup.
So you can then pat Kevin on the back for a job well done.
So that's what he was working on, a tribute to the Boston Bruins in the Stanley Cup victory, bringing it home to Boston after 39 long. Yeah, did you see Bert Breer tweeted today speaking? Because he was talking about how all the news coverage.
How did he
coverage,
tie this into himself?
He didn't. Well, a little bit. But the news coverage, it's all about the long and difficult period of 39 years for the Bruins and their fans. And he said it wasn't a tough time because the Red Sox and Celtics and Patriots. I mean, if you're a Bruins fan, it was a tough time.
Yeah. Right.
If that's your team, if you're a passionate Bruins fan,
right.
okay, it's great that your other sports are winning, but your passion is with the Bruins.
The Celtics in the 80s did not help a Red Sox fan,
right,
to our knowledge, right?
Right.
Wasn't there still the talk of this whole curse and all that?
Pretty much everyone has a primary sport slash team where you are truly, you bleed it. You're a true passionate fan. And if that's the Bruins for you, you haven't had a lot of fun for a long time.
Right. You've been kind of, you know, the stepchild.
Frustrated.
Yeah.
You've been frustrated.
And last year was a huge disappointment. You're up 3-0 in a series and you lose.
Right.
Whereas now, not only did you win, but I think you can now go into the offseason and you're saying, can they stay on top? Will they sign this guy? Are they going to do this? There's we can do this. We're competitive. We're going to be a contender every year. And that's a feeling that the other teams have had. But if you're a Bruins fan, you struggled for a while.
All right. Well, we're going to be a contender every Tuesday and Thursday during the offseason, keeping the flame burning. But that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
Stick around.
Thanks to everyone. Stick around for Kevin's big tribute to the Boston Bruins. We'll see you next Tuesday.
And the puck drop. Marshawn will jump on it right wing corner. Marshawn looking. Curls out to the right circle. Spins back in deep. Feeds it in front. Score! Patrice Bergeron on the slot. Set up by Marshawn. And the Bruins with a 1-0 lead in the first. Marshawn in the left corner. Marshawn works his way free along the left wing side. In the corner still. Banks it out to the left point. Seidenberg along. Wrist shot. Save Luongo. Rebound loose in front. Marshawn trying to settle it. Takes it around the net. Wrap around. Chance. Save Luongo. Loose puck. Score. And the Bruins are up 2-0.
Our team just had incredible character. Every time we got our backs pushed against the wall, we responded. We had to win this series the hard way. We had to come on the road for Game 7 against the President's Trophy winner for the season, and the guys, we did it.
Campbell and Kessler on the draw. 2:36 to go in the period. Campbell a big win. Seidenberg will gun it up the boards. Kicks in the middle of Bergeron. Bergeron trying to settle it down the middle, being chased. Bergeron to the net. Bumped down by Erhoff. Score! And rolled in. Bergeron gets it shorthanded. And the Bruins have a 3-0 lead.
It's a huge honor. I'm so humbled to be in this position. It was so hard, such a long road, such a grind. So happy for everybody to be able to cherish this moment, and I will never forget this.
And they'll play on. A puck at center. It's loose. Marchand has it with an open net in front of him. Marchand, a rush shot, and he scores! Brad Marchand for the empty net goal, and a 4-0 lead for the Bruins with 2:44 left.
That all swim clues are fans in Boston since 1972. You know, we've heard that, that they had to win a cup for a long time, and we're bringing it back home, and that, you know, we can't be happier for those guys that have supported our fans, support us through all of this, our families, you know, and for my parents here from Ottawa, because you know what, the support they gave me through all my life, the least I could do is bring him here for a special moment. So I'm so happy to have him here, and you know, you got to remember the people that supported you, and that's what makes me happy right now, as I'm able to give back.
Get the duck boats ready. After 39 long years, the cup is back home. The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.